about.
You gotta put it in perspective.
You know, Sam, there's only one way to end a perfect day.
What's that?
Flash jump.
Right.
One, two, three, yeah!
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
One, two, three.
Bad boy!
Four, five, six.
V.I.G. Ah!
You know, there are ways not to perform oral sex if you
want to do it. I was kind of stoned at the time, and quite honestly, that didn't even enter my mind. Yeah. Now I wish it would have.
Right.
But
meaning the using of the teeth,
mm-hmm,
right?
Yes, you, that's what I'm
as
thinking.
A weapon,
you're, yeah, I didn't even think of it.
Fighting.
First of all, ouch.
And now.
Can you give me some time to think about it?
Absolutely. How much time do you need?
Until hell freezes over.
Our feature presentation.
Right?
Liquor!
Right?
Liquor!
I mean, they've won three, right? So that's a tenth of the way toward you winning your bet.
Dude, 2-0. I mean, they just won two in a row.
Two in a row, yeah.
Yeah. So that happened.
They're on it, man.
Woo!
You're so happy.
Woo!
Were you watching?
I was, yeah.
Who was missing from Houston?
Well, I mean, Dwight Howard.
Oh, well, so they beat Houston without Dwight Howard.
Yeah, sure.
Okay. Well, that's still
who's that?
Better than losing, I guess.
Morning, everybody. Brand new Kevin and Bean Show. It is Thursday. It is the 20th of November.
Thanksgiving is 1 week from today, by the way. Hey, here's a story that was on 2020 last Friday night on ABC. I missed it, but Dr. Drew was talking about it last night, and I thought it was fascinating. Apparently, and I don't know anything about this, but apparently it's expensive to go to a sperm bank most of the time.
Oh, okay.
It can cost up to $700 for sperm to be inseminated into a woman who is attempting to become pregnant without a partner.
Really?
Yeah, a lot. A lot of women don't have that money or don't want to go that route or have heard that fresh semen is more effective at making pregnancy than frozen semen. Fortunately, because men are generous and men are giving and men are good and men are nice, lots of men advertise on the internet that they are willing to impregnate women for free.
Wow. Does this officially mean men are the better sex now?
I think so,
after
because men are on the internet offering to have sex with women to get them pregnant for free. A lot of times online, the women that are advertising the sex, they want something in return. The men, a lot of times, don't want anything in return. I'm willing to give you a baby. That's pretty generous, I think. So 2020 did an interview with some of the people who were involved in both sides of this transaction. This might be worth going through another day because I found this fascinating. For instance, 23-year-old Kyle Gordy. He is pursuing his master's degree in accounting. He offers his sperm for free to women who want a baby. He says, I'm a great candidate. I don't do drugs. I don't smoke. I don't drink. I don't intake caffeine. And I only eat sperm-friendly foods like wheat and brown rice and fruit and vegetables. He says, I'm attending university. Both of my siblings are engineers. I have a twin who's a nuclear engineer. My grandfather was a scientist. So apparently he's saying, hey, I got all these things that would be great characteristics to hand down to a woman. He says, I'm passing on my legacy and giving these people kids. So he's one person. One of the people that he attempted to impregnate is a 44-year-old named Serena. She drove 2 hours to be naturally inseminated by Gordy at his home. She's never been married. She longs for a child. She said, I always planned on having one. My career got in the way. I didn't find the right man. Then, oops, I'm 30. Then, oops, I'm 40. She said she thought about going the traditional route and finding someone just to marry, but she says dating is difficult. I don't care if I have a husband or a man. I just want the child. So this is apparently a legal thing that is going on in this country now?
This is a deal?
This is the career choice we should have taken instead of getting into stupid radio, apparently?
I didn't know this is a choice, a vocational choice.
I didn't either.
What's happening?
Are other men who are interviewed in the article, by the way, who do charge. I mean, this guy that we talked about does it for free, but there's one guy named Joe, for instance, who has fathered more than 30 children. Listen to him, Kevin. He's a married man with 3 teenage children, and here's the best part. His wife doesn't know about his job on
what?
The side.
Are you kidding? But you do. So They don't give any information?
Yes, his wife doesn't know. He was interviewed for 2020 and kept his identity a secret. After 7 years, he has slept with over 100 women for natural insemination. How about that?
That's a thing.
Yep. He hopes to end up with around 100 kids. This is a guy who is too into his own, you're passing down his genes to the rest of the world, by the way. I don't know that we need 100 of anybody, to tell you the truth.
Yeah, we don't really need another of anybody. I mean, let's be honest about that.
It's not right,
that
exactly. Deal, but yeah. So anyway, how's that for a fascinating way that some people are spending their time, is going out and trying to have unprotected sex so they can get women pregnant, and the women are down with it.
That's too good to be true. You're missing something.
Well, maybe so. Like I said, I didn't see the whole 2020 piece. I just did a little digging after I saw it on Dr. Drew's show last night. But there you go.
Well, I'm out, suckers. See ya. Let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean Show, shall we?
You know what would make you feel better? Drugs.
It's a good point. She has a good point. Dr. Drew's going to be on the show today, as we do on Thursdays. Also on Thursdays, we talk to Jim Rome about all things sports. Bo Bachman will be here talking about the L.A. Auto Show. We have...
What's new at the auto show this year? Have we heard anything? Anything in particular we want to talk to Bo about?
I don't know. I haven't been really keeping up with that. That's why we bring them in. See what's
usually
new.
They do have something new. You know, there's a new technology or something every year that people are like, what?
Wasn't he talking about last time, maybe it wasn't quite ready yet, but you're going to be able to get to a parking garage and get out and your car will drive itself into the parking garage, park, and then back up and come back to you.
Yes, I think so. I think that was one of the things he said was on the horizon.
The technology existed then. It's just hadn't come to us yet.
And it seems like even the self parking and the self driving cars seem to be both a little slow on the rollout. And I don't know if it's just because they're not in enough models or they're too expensive or what. But I've not seen them on the street yet. That's for sure.
I was in I took a test drive in a self parking, parallel parking car.
How was that?
And it's awesome. You just put it into gear, and then you do have to work the brake. That's it. Mm-hmm. But the steering and everything, it goes by, you know, whatever.
And it's able to read the car in front and the car in back, so that it
and the curb.
That's amazing. That would be very useful.
It's really crazy that they can do that. But some of these other things that they're talking about, I just can't imagine they're going to be here soon. Comedian Joe Rogan on the program today.
Love Joe.
He's the best. He's got a new Comedy Central special. We have a brand new edition of Lightning Strikes talking about Miss Double December, which, by the way, you can go to krock.com if you would like to enter. And we also have the King of Mexico Hates Thanksgiving. What's up with that? I don't know anyone else that hates Thanksgiving.
I don't either.
It just seems like, unless you have a terrible...
Unless you have to cook.
Cooking maybe, but if you have a terrible family you hate spending time with, maybe... Mm-hmm. But you do get like
but still,
4 days
friends,
off or whatever.
Yeah, you can still go to – you don't have to go to your family. You can go to somebody else's house for Thanksgiving and just eat. Dave loves to eat.
I hear you. We also have a brand new internet roundup that we've got for you coming up this morning and tickets for the sold-out 25th annual K-Rock Almost Acoustic Christmas. That's coming up as well. We'll take a break and come back with the Showbiz Beatnik. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. You are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show. It is 5:53.
Thursday morning. Time for Ralph Garman. First look at the showbiz beat. What's going on, Ralph?
Well, Bill Cosby has been quiet regarding all these allegations about sexual assault.
Yeah.
So much to the point where recently when interviewed on NPR radio, he wouldn't even speak. He just would nod his shake his head at the interviewer as the interviewer asked him questions about those accusations.
I have that tape if you want it, by the way.
Sure.
We,
a little refresher.
Played that. It's funny, having said that, now I can't find it. Oh, here we go. I played that a couple days ago, first thing, but people might not have heard it.
This question gives me no pleasure, Mr. Cosby, but there have been serious allegations raised about you in recent days. You're shaking your head no. I'm in the news business. I have to ask the question. Do you have any response to those charges? Shaking your head no.
And it goes on like that. And by the way, how much must Kevin love Scott Simon on NPR?
Why? I don't get it.
Because you know how Kevin is always complaining about PBS and NPR and how boring people on the radio are?
Put you to sleep.
But that was exciting. He's confronting Bill Cosby with a question about sexual assault.
It was good. I don't know that I'd go with exciting.
Oh, Kevin. People just talking is boring. Why don't you punch Bill Cosby and explode him? Well, Cosby has been silent and remains so. However, this is the reason we pay lawyers. his lawyer, high-powered, high-profile showbiz lawyer, Marty Singer, is out in front of this story, calling the most recent accusation by Janice Dickinson an outrageous, defamatory lie. Lie, I say.
Does he say it that way?
I don't know. And he says he can prove it. Now, this is where my concern was about Janice Dickinson getting into the fray. She is like the Courtney Love of models.
Yeah. Yeah, she's a little crazy.
She's crazy. She's out there. She's been known to create stories that make her look good and downplay others. She prevaricates. She
goes from reality show to reality show. Hey, look at me.
Yeah, she is not exactly the model defendant.
You wouldn't want her to be your only accuser. That's for sure.
And even if she's telling the truth, all of that being added in, you don't know what to think.
Her shaky behavior in the past will give less credence to this claim. For example, Martin Singer pulled out an interview that she gave in 2002 where she claims that Bill Cosby blew her off because she refused to sleep with him. And that was the last contact they ever had.
Well, that sounds contradictory to this week's story.
That's what I'm talking about. It's this kind of thing where she just makes up whatever seems like a good story at the time, I'm sure. Yeah. Not saying that this isn't true. You know, she also claimed that she was pressured to remove details about this alleged encounter from her autobiography. He said that never happened either.
Oh, she wrote about it and then was forced to take it out.
That's what she says.
Oh. Interesting.
So it looks like we're going to start getting into this. In the meanwhile, not only is Bill Cosby's current career being attacked because of this situation, I mentioned that NBC dropped plans to develop a new sitcom with Mr. Cosby, and Netflix has indefinitely postponed the release of his new comedy special, Bill Cosby 77. Now TV Land has announced they are dropping reruns of The Cosby Show. So they are erasing his past as well.
It's pretty sad news for Rudy, though, who was looking forward to those checks.
I bet. Yeah, they will no longer be showing The Cosby Show reruns. So
I imagine they showed a lot of those on that channel.
Yeah, they do. They show it. It's constantly running over there. So
it's so interesting, Ralph, this whole story. And when you said that Mr. Cosby's attorney had proof, I'm thinking, how do you have any proof on something that happened or didn't happen in a hotel room 30 years ago? So I guess the proof is let's impeach the witness, right?
Right. It is going to be, as is often the case, well, which story is true? Did he blow you up because you said no and he walked away, or did he not take no for an answer and drug you and attack you? So,
but then you feel bad. She's not the only
exactly. Yeah, I do feel bad for Janice Dickinson if she's telling the truth, and it was a difficult decision for her to make to come forward with this, and now she's potentially being raked through the court.
I do too. I also say, why lie in 2002 then? If you're not going to talk about it, then just don't talk about it. Don't change the story and alter it and make it something else.
Exactly.
Oh, what a tangled web we weave. You know the rest, Kevin, right?
Sure.
It's from Fast and the Furious 7, right?
No, it's not.
6, B. Don't be an idiot.
Oh, sorry, 6.
On Friday at my birthday party, Kathy Griffin stopped by. And we were having cocktails. And I said, Kathy, you got to do this fashion police thing. Nobody could step into the shoes of Joan Rivers and make fun of celebrities and their clothes better than you. You got to do this.
And Kathy would make it funny.
And she'd make it funny, exactly. She said, I don't know. I'm thinking about it. Well, TMZ now is reporting that she has finalized her deal and will be joining the other cast members of that show on E! I'm happy to say. I think she'd be a good fit there. E! Says that the show will also no longer air weekly. Instead, it'll be aired during award shows and other special occasions. So it sounds like they're going to do a series of specials rather than a weekly show where they just attack people in the media. And while we're talking about television news, this is the best I've had in some time.
Oh, good.
You know how much I love The Veep over there on HBO.
Oh, so funny. That show's so good.
They just announced a new cast member. Hugh Laurie has joined the cast of Veep.
Hugh Laurie?
Yes. Yes. I'm already laughing.
Outstanding.
A lot of people know him as Dr. House, of course, from the long-running drama on Fox. But before that, he had a huge career in the UK as a sketch comedian.
So good.
Improvisational and sketch comedian. So this is right up his wheelhouse.
Shaft, as I would say.
Alley.
Now, I haven't seen him in anything since House went off the air, at least on American TV.
He's been mostly doing the music thing. He's been doing his blues and jazz and stuff. I'm trying to think if I've seen him in anything. There are a couple movies, little movie roles here and there, but nothing on television.
Oh, this is such great news.
That is great news.
No word yet on what his role will be, but You know, Julie Louis-Dreyfus's character, Selina Meyer, will be taking over the Oval Office. So maybe he'll play her Veep, or maybe he'll be a British prime minister or something. Who knows? But I'm looking forward to it. Today's celebrity birthdays. All these stars were born on today, November the 20th. Ming-Na Wen from Marvel's Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Yeah, she's a good deal.
She is a miracle. She is a freak of nature. She's 51 years old today.
She is?
Yes.
What?
Yes.
That's crazy.
It's ridiculous. You look at her in that show, she's doing nothing but kicking ass and looking 30.
Yeah, you meant 31. I'm pretty sure it's a typo from Dave or something.
It's the most wrong thing on television.
It is hard to explain.
Team of Swedish scientists should look into this. She's found the fountain of youth.
Wow.
She's ridiculous. She plays, of course, May on that show. She's amazing. Great, great episode this week, by the way. Mike D of The Beast Boys, 49 years old. Joel McHale, our friend from The Soup and Community, turns 43. Dierks Bentley is 39 years old today. Davey Havoc of AFI is also 39. And actress Nadine Velasquez. You remember her from My Name is Earl? She was the sexy maid.
Yes, I do.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
She's 36. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
That's for real. We play that for real. We're not being ironic or anything. Blind
yep.
Melon.
Woo! Yep.
I don't recognize that song without Kevin talking over it.
Hey, nice callback, Dave. Next hour, we got your tickets for night number 2 of the sold-out 25th annual K-Rock Almost Acoustic Christmas. Also, our friend Joe Rogan joins us, Jim Rome, on the program as well. First, though, our producer, Dave, the King of Mexico, is in studio because it's time for a brand new Kevin and Bean Internet Round.
Yo, K-Rock listeners around the world, it is time for the Internet Roundup, so tell all the boys and girls, we've got funny and sexy even music, too. We've got all the greatest videos, and they're mostly on YouTube. Click your mouse in the air like you don't care. You could watch these videos all up in your underwear. Internet, internet, come on, baby, watch some. And now it's time for the Internet Roundup. Yeah!
Pretty good batch this week. You can find all the best viral videos of the week every week on the KevinandBean.com, part of KRock.com. Dave puts them together for you this week. And we're going to start with one we talked about a few days ago because it's so spectacular it deserved its own attention. And it's the most popular video in the roundup this week by a Chinese group that goes by the name of Wang Rong. This song is called Chick Chick. We refer to it as the Chinese chicken song. And it is, as Kevin put it, it is this year's What Does the Fox Say?
Yeah, it's awesome.
It's pretty crazy. And as ridiculous as this music sounds, wait till you see what's going on in the video. Hit it, Steve. That'll get in your head, too, by the way. You won't forget that one. Anderson Cooper has a feature on his CNN show called The Ridiculist, where he talks about just all sorts of – it's kind of the catch-all for wacky stories in the broadcast. And he presented one the other night that he had not pre-seen. He was reading it live on television off the teleprompter. And it turned out that it was about coworkers who were complaining about somebody that they worked with. What Anderson didn't know until the words came out of his mouth is he was the employee that was being complained about.
Oh, no.
This is what The Ridiculous is about tonight? I should have read it ahead of time. Really? So my coworkers do not like the way my candle smells? Some more staff descriptions of my candle. Dumpster ravioli. Mario Batali's Crocs. Okay, that I draw the line at. There's no way my candle smells like Mario Batali's Crocs.
Is that code for anything else? Because that's not making sense.
No. People were complaining about the candle that he burns in his office, by the way. Do you know anyone in any office anywhere that lights a candle and burns it?
No, I don't.
I can understand where his employees are coming from.
Especially if it's a smelly one.
Yeah, exactly.
Huh.
This is a great video. Husband and wife driving down the road. The wife does not know the husband is filming her until she realizes it while she is singing along at the top of her lungs to Salt and Peppa on the radio.
Yeah.
And it's great.
Don't you got nothing to do, then worry about my friend. Check it. I can't do nothing, girl, without somebody.
Oh!
No!
She's pretty gangster, right?
I don't think Salt-N-Pepa's gangster, but yeah.
I'm not sure she's awesome. Gangster either. But.
Yeah.
Dave, who's behind Grandma smoking weed for the first time? Because this is a pretty great idea.
I don't know.
Okay.
Yeah.
It's exactly what you think it is. It's three old ladies who have never ever had weed before, and they show them how to use a bong, and they just sit there, and then there's just a time lapse on what they're, you know, how goofy they get after 5 minutes, 10 minutes, 15 minutes. I think they enjoyed it.
I pickle iron now for days. I love to iron.
Oh. You do?
Oh, yeah. You're kind of weird.
What kind of times?
I really feel like the muscles here in my neck seem not as tight. And I see a lot of benefits for it.
I totally lost track of what you were talking about.
I know.
Bean, this was done in Washington. I see a video where Bean smokes weed for the first time ever.
I like it.
Do you now?
Yeah.
Do you have the same week as my drug history? Is that what you're suggesting?
Yeah.
We're all watching Gotham, the pre-Batman show that's on Fox. Well, here's somebody who had a great idea to do a pre-Gotham show. So now we get a chance to meet the characters before they're the age that you see them on the TV show. Because let's face it, Warner Brothers has Batman, and there's got to be a way to squeeze more money out of it. And it's actually pretty well done.
He says to me, "What tastes better than it smells?" And I go, "A tongue, stupid."
Oh, man. Oh, you're such a joker.
Actually, it was more of a riddle.
Very funny. Honest Trailers are back this time by popular request. They're doing The Little Mermaid, which came out 25 years ago this month, if you can believe it. And it really is, when you see the Honest Trailer, you'll realize what a crazy sexist movie it is.
Get swept up in a fantastical romance where love conquers all. If by love you mean acting like a clueless mute brat so an older guy will make out with you. And enjoy the vintage Disney classic with an equally vintage message for today's young girls. Look pretty. Surround yourself with friends who are dumber and fatter than you. Abandon your family to marry a guy you just met. And if you're not happy with the contract you signed without even reading, get your fiancé to murder the person who outsmarted you.
Seems like pretty good advice.
I think it's good. I think it's great viewing for all little girls. Kristen Bell, who we couldn't love anymore, is a great actress and a terrific singer. We all know that from her songs in Frozen. And she has teamed up with the group called Straight No Chaser to do a Christmas song that's just perfect for this internet age.
A Facebook message isn't quite as sweet. I need more from you than just a tweet.
A snap on Snapchat doesn't last. And voicemail, that's from Christmas past. Text three Merry Christmas.
She's good. She's good.
By the way, you know who she wrote that song for, right?
No, who?
Me.
Text me Merry Christmas?
Yeah, because yeah. Who's always texting on their phone?
Let's see. The guy who keeps her away from our show? Yeah, that's who she's writing that about.
She wrote it for me, so just let you guys know.
All I know about history, I learned from the Epic Rap listen to me.
Whoa!
The Epic Rap Battles
Epic
series.
Epic Rap Battles, though. That's pretty good, too. That's
I'd watch that as well. Yeah. This one is classic duos going up against each other. Let's see what it sounds like when it's Romeo and Juliet versus the real-life Bonnie and Clyde.
Romeo, oh Romeo, wherefore you trying to flow, yo? Romeo, you soft as a fro, yo. Are those the drapes to your clothes, bro? This gonna be a tragedy.
Make you ache like your balls on the balcony.
Pharaoh gang put their money where their mouth is.
Sick like a plague on both your houses.
My love, your face is beauty to behold. I will protect thine honor for these dust bowl dildos.
A moment's break from your gaze is an eternity past. So together we shall both put these bitches on blast.
They're unbelievably talented, the people who put those epic rap battles together. They're
yes,
great.
They are.
And finally, and this is another one of my favorites from this week, this is just great. We talked about the movie Frozen a minute ago. This is somebody who did an animated Breaking Bad parody as if it were Frozen, and it features the smash hit, Do You Want to Build a Meth Lab?
Do you want to build a meth lab? Come on, let's go and cook. I never see you anymore. Come out the door, let's make our product by the book. We'll make lots of money, just you and me. We'll stack the cash up high. Do you want to build a meth lab? A rolling RV meth lab.
Way, Mr. White. Just one try.
You can see all these videos, plus a video of tiny hamsters wearing little pilgrim hats sitting around a table enjoying Thanksgiving together. They're all at KevinandBean.com or KROQ.com. It's a brand new Kevin and Bean Internet Roundup.
Those videos were awesome. Now, baby, go watch the Pinterest.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. It's Kevin and Bean Show. It is 626. Nope.
Hey, David King of Mexico.
What up, man?
Nope. Got your theme song here.
Not all.
Thanksgiving, oh, Thanksgiving.
Nope.
Turkey things are gonna happen. Gobble, gobble. Thanksgiving cooks outside my window.
All right.
Thanksgiving cooks
need time to talk
behind the tree. I wish the pilgrims could see, but I can't find them for the life of me. And it's Thanksgiving cooks outside my window plane.
Now, Dave, the King of Mexico, is in here, and the reason we bring him up when we bring up Thanksgiving is we found out something so shocking. I guess we shouldn't be shocked because we found out that Dave hates Halloween.
Yeah, it's really a 1-2 punch of bad.
Yeah, this is a bad time of the year.
People love holidays, all right, Dave? People look forward to this time of year when fun stuff happens, when they get to get together and do fun, different things.
What do you do fun on Thanksgiving? One.
Eat! Eat and watch football?
What's better than eating and watching football?
That sounds like Sunday.
Right, but you know what it is? Here's the thing. King of Mexico hates Thanksgiving.
All right, let's clarify.
And we're trying
to figure out why. Let's clarify.
Right.
I don't hate Thanksgiving. I hate Thanksgiving food. That's what I hate.
But there's 100 different things you could eat. That doesn't make any sense.
Okay.
Do you not like any of it?
And that's my point. That's my point.
That's your point.
Yes.
That there's hundreds of things you can
eat. Here. What does suck.
What's
a traditional Thanksgiving meal?
Turkey.
Yes. Sucks.
Okay.
All right. So,
And a lot of people substitute a lot of other things.
Yeah, and that's why it sucks. So you agree with me that Thanksgiving food sucks.
No, I like.
So when you say, ooh, I'm going to bake a ham, that's not Thanksgiving food. That's ham. Do you get me?
Yeah, I get what you're saying.
So
but
you hate Thanksgiving
stupid.
Because you don't like turkey.
No, I'm saying the whole meal of everyone's saying, oh, Thanksgiving's so great. No, it's not. Everyone makes this crappy food and is forced to eat it.
First of all, most of us love this, what you call crappy food. I love it. I love all of it.
How often
and mashed
do you
potatoes
eat a full turkey? How often do you eat that?
Well, I don't need a full turkey on
Thanksgiving either.
Yes. I have turkey sandwiches. Yes, I like turkey. What
I
kind
have turkey
of
a lot,
is that?
Too. Turkey's
yeah.
great.
Yeah, and then who eats yams?
Okay, so there's so what?
Yeah.
You can avoid
cranberry sauce.
You can avoid
nobody.
Yams.
Nobody eats that.
Both of those are really good. Sweet potatoes are good. Yams
sweet potatoes
are good.
Crap.
Cranberry sauce is good. Mashed potatoes are great.
Do you hate mashed potatoes?
No, mashed potatoes you have every day. It's nothing special.
How about people make green beans?
Yeah, green bean casserole? Gross.
The casserole is great. The
no,
stuffing.
It all sucks. It all sucks, and that's why people make their other meals. They make ham. They make,
But here's the thing. There's no law.
There is law.
Ham for Thanksgiving if you don't like turkey. It's not a
deal. You guys were coming down on me because I didn't like Thanksgiving food. So you said, how can I do that? And I just proved that.
You said you didn't like Thanksgiving food.
No, I said I don't like Thanksgiving food. And, this is why people make all kinds of other crap, because the food sucks. And this is
all right. Let me ask you this question, Dave.
And I'm sure I'm not the only one who agrees.
You are the only one. But you do understand that a hundred million Americans will have turkey next Thanksgiving. So
yeah, only
for you to say Thanksgiving food sucks or turkey sucks, you're in the minority on this one.
You do understand that. Only because it's beat into people's heads that they have to have turkey on Thanksgiving.
No, people have it because it's great and they look forward to it all holiday season.
Because they want it. Even the people who cook it hate it because they got to wait 8 hours to cook this stupid bird.
Wow, you're not making any sense, Dave. Yeah.
You couldn't be more wrong, but yes, Stephanie from Whittier is on the line. Hi, Stephanie.
Hi, how are you guys?
Good, thank you.
Well, we're confused as to why you're calling.
I can't stand Thanksgiving food.
Thank you.
I hate it with a passion.
It sucks, right?
What don't you like about it? Because it's got like 100 different things that are awesome.
Okay, cranberries, the whole concept of cranberries
fine.
Is disgusting.
Fine, don't eat them, fine.
Okay, mashed potatoes is like baby food. It's mashed up baby food that you can
do not talk trash on mashed potatoes. I'll take you out.
Mashed potatoes.
Oh, that's
like crazy, but it's,
There are so many better ways to eat potatoes.
But you have every option. They can make any food you want. What about the fact, Dave and Stephanie, what about the fact that you get 4 days off in a row? Isn't that awesome? Isn't it? Because Thursday's
the
holiday.
That's how much Thanksgiving sucks, that you have to have 4 days off. There has to be 3 NFL games. You have to do all kinds of other things to make that
how
holiday
is 4
good.
Days off not a good thing?
By the way, it's only two days off, and then it's a weekend.
I'll say 4 days off is awesome. But on Thanksgiving, I'm so thankful that my husband's family is going out to eat to a restaurant. That would be it. Like,
look, I can understand if you hate to cook and then being put in the position to have to make all that food. I understand that. But Dave doesn't make food.
No, I don't.
I don't make food either.
You don't either. Yeah.
But what about, let me, I'm just fascinated, Stephanie, because again, Thanksgiving is the one meal more than any other meal all year long where there are options. I get it. If you don't like cranberry, don't have cranberry. If you don't like mashed potatoes, don't have mashed potatoes. There's lots of other things still on the table. There's deviled eggs sometimes. There's cornbread.
That's not traditional
those
food.
Those are all traditional,
deviled
part of traditional Thanksgiving.
Who told you that there's a list of five things you can have
the
for Thanksgiving?
Pilgrims.
And that's all.
The Pilgrims.
The Pilgrims told you that.
And listen, the Indians knew what was coming, man. They knew what was coming when they were serving the Pilgrims. That's why they gave them a crappy animal like the turkey. They could have served bison. They could have served deer. Some good stuff. Nope.
This is unbelievable.
They gave them turkey.
Stephanie, are you still with Dave now on that?
Oh, yeah.
Unbelievable.
Yeah. All right, that is a turkey.
Let me ask you this because we have to draw this conversation to a close, Stephanie, and I want you to be honest with me, okay? And you, Dave, as well. What about desserts on Thanksgiving? What about pumpkin pie? What about pecan pie? What about all the other stuff that people make?
Let's go to Stephanie first. Dessert?
Okay. The only thing I kind of like is pumpkin pie, but I'd still rather have, like, ice cream or something.
You can have ice cream. That's the thing. There's
nobody.
No Thanksgiving police that are going to show up and go, "You're eating ice cream. Come with us."
Yeah, but nobody brings it. It's the tradition.
Well, that's what. How hard is that to figure out? Get your own ice cream. You people are insane.
Admit it, Kevin. Admit it. Original Thanksgiving.
I love
food.
All
sucks.
Of that food.
Well, you're easy, though. You eat anything.
I think you and Stephanie need to meet up on next Thursday and just go to McDonald's together and enjoy yourselves.
Let's go.
This is for both of you.
Someone didn't love you enough when you were little, did they?
Angel writes in, "David King of Mexico reminds me of the annoying kid in school that always needs to be right. I no longer hate beer mug now. F Dave.
Wow.
Fire Dave, but still suspend beer mug." That's what Angel says.
Wow. Yeah, Dave turned somebody against, I mean, on beer mug's side.
Right?
That's crazy.
When you're making beer mug look good, you're doing something wrong.
Correct.
Hey, thanks for tuning into the Kevin and Bean Show. Ralph brought us a story earlier this week that I, perhaps alone, was fascinated with, and that is that Bruce Springsteen, one of my favorite singers of all time, one of the great live performers that ever stepped on the boards, is about to make the archive available to us. He has been, he's been so heavily bootlegged over the years. He's been a great live performer for 40 years, and there's thousands and thousands and thousands and thousands of bootleg tapes out there. Well, they've recorded a lot of those shows, and they're about to start releasing them officially so that fans can buy them in better quality, which I just think is fantastic.
That seems like a win-win.
Yeah, it seems like if you're a Springsteen fan, of course it's a win-win. Yeah, I mean, he's a guy who's famous for, marathon four-hour concerts sometimes. He does lots of covers. He reinvents his own songs. And they have just, they've just kind of started dipping their toes into this a little bit by releasing a recent show. And they're going to go back into the archives and release some of the most requested fan shows. And I'm really excited about it. And we want to find out more about it with the boss himself on the phone. Bruce Springsteen joins us back on the Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock. Hi, Bruce. Happy holidays to you, sir.
Hey, same to you, Kevin and Bean. How's it going?
Very good. Thank you.
Great to talk to you. I understand that they came to you a few years ago and you turned them down, but now you've changed your mind on releasing all these live shows. How come?
Yeah, this group, Nugs.net is the name of them, and they came to us and said, we've done this for some other bands. We'd like to archive the live music that's floating around out there and put it in one place for your fans to get it. And initially I said no, and the bootleg thing could take care of itself. But I realized all the stuff we've got on YouTube and things like that, that if there's an appetite for it and the fans want to see it, why not, make some high-quality downloads for them and also, make a couple bucks. I'm not against money,
Right. Sure. Yeah, of course. And so far, most of the downloads that are available have been from this current tour, the High Hopes tour, right?
Right. Yeah. Most of it is that, the New Zealand show, and also, the launch that we did for the Wrecking Ball tour in New York, and back in 2012, that's also up there. But we're going to start putting more stuff up because it turns out my fans are just a bunch of idiots, man.
Why would you say anything?
They'll buy anything that I play. It's crazy. I have no idea. I'm going to be so much richer than I was before.
It's pretty true that they'll buy anything you play.
Yeah, they're crazy. My fans are just stupid, crazy people.
We would call them rabid. I think
yeah,
that's...
I'd call them idiots.
Okay.
I'd call them insane idiots.
Okay.
But apparently they got a lot of disposable income, so I'll take it, man.
Now, we have we went to the website, which is live.brucespringsteen.net, and we picked up – we got a couple of clips from some of your shows that you're being offered now, and we wanted to ask you about them. Like, I think this first clip we have, Kevin, is this the one from the 2012 from the Wrecking Ball show that he was talking
about? Recent tour, yeah.
Okay.
You know, I remember growing up back in Jersey. Sometimes it would get so cold, I once almost killed my sister with my freezing powers. The trolls made her forget, but I can't forget. The snow glows white on the mountain tonight. Not a footprint to be seen. A kingdom of isolation. And it looks like I'm the queen. The wind is howling like this swirling storm inside. Couldn't keep it in. Heaven knows I tried. Don't let them in. Don't let them see. Be the good girl you always have to be. Conceal, don't feel. Don't let them know. Well, now they know. Let it go, let it go.
Really?
Can't hold it back anymore. Let it go, let it go. Turn away, slam the door, Stevie.
Does that crowd cheer like that during your entire song?
Yeah, that's I told you, they're assholes.
That's amazing.
Well, they're fans of yours. But look, I know you're famous for covering hundreds of different songs, but really the Frozen song,
yeah,
Let It Go?
Yeah, I can play anything, and they'll buy it.
Well, that's
people
true.
Will buy it. All right, now we're going way back, Bruce. I don't know anything about this clip, but let's hear it. This is from your 1983 tour, I guess, just before Born in the USA came out. You had a very popular big tour across the world. Let's hear what this one sounds like.
You know, when I was growing up in Jersey, my mother would always say, "Hey, Bruce, when are you going to live your life right?" And I'd say, "Oh, Ma, I'm just a girl. I want to have fun." I come home in the morning light. My mother says, "When you going to live your life right?" Oh, mother dear, we're not the fortunate ones. And girls, they want to have fun. Oh, girls just want to have fun.
Wow, I would not have thought you'd cover that one.
Yeah, well, look, I did Royals by Lord. Man.
That's
yeah.
true.
People will buy literally anything I record.
All right.
Amazing. What's wrong with these assholes?
Well, I think they're fans of yours. And I don't
are,
think...
they, are they damaged? Are they mentally damaged?
Well, I think they're just huge fans
of
you.
A lot of the stuff I record is crap.
Huh, okay.
I keep buying it.
I don't think they feel that
way. 4-hour show, you're going to have some filler.
Okay.
That's what I'm saying.
All right. One more show, Bruce, from the archives. This one goes back to the 1970s.
Yeah.
Let's hear it.
You know, when I was growing up in Jersey, we'd spend our summers on the boardwalk. That's where everybody met. It was like a social scene of a teenager in Jersey.
Could have been edited out.
The crowd loves it. The crowd loves it, I know that.
How is this a thing? No. Bruce, no one needs to hear that.
I'm selling those pants if you want to buy them.
6.7 K-Rock is KROQ. You're listening to The Kevin and Bean Show. It is 6:56.
Your tickets tonight, number 2 of the sold-out 25th annual K-Rock Almost Acoustic Christmas, next half hour here on The Kevin and Bean Show. And we sent our man Lightning out on the street for one of the great questions of our time. Real breasts versus fake breasts. Your thoughts. That's coming up after the top of the
yes.
hour.
Yes. Real breasts. Here. Yes. Versus fake breasts.
Versus, as Muggs yeah. would say. Yes. Yeah. I'm with Ralph, by the way. Yes on both.
Yes on both.
I voted yes on that.
There's no issue to me, but all right.
Time for the showbiz beat. Now here's Ron.
Sad news. Legendary award-winning director of Broadway and motion pictures, Mike Nichols, has passed away. According to ABC News, he passed away suddenly at the age of 83. He was also the husband of ABC News anchor Diane Sawyer. No cause of death has been given yet. I'm sure we will hear more, but Nichols created some of America's most popular and some of its best-regarded film works, like The Graduate with Dustin Hoffman, a classic film. Working Girl was also a big success for him. You may remember from Silkwood, mm-hmm. Carnal Knowledge, The Birdcage, Closer.
What a career.
Yeah, and he was a major presence on Broadway as well. He earned his eighth Tony 2 years ago for a revival of Death of the Salesman.
He did Spamalot, too, remember? Remember yep. Ralph Spamalot?
He sure did. Barefoot in the Park, Neil Simon's play, along with The Odd Couple.
He was... Kevin, you tracking with any of this?
No, but I did find it funny that he said, remember Ke- I mean, remember Ralph? He had to redirect that question.
Interesting life. He fled Nazi Germany.
Really?
In 1938, yeah.
Well, I did not know that.
He and his parents were Germans, and he arrived in the United States at the age of 7 when his parents and family fled the Nazis. He went on to become a wildly successful sketch and improvisational comedian in Chicago, along with his partner for Elaine May for many years. They were a comedy duo in the late 50s and early 60s, and they were widely regarded as one of the best. And then he went from a career of performing comedy to starting to direct, which was an odd choice at the time, but obviously the right one. 83 years old. Also dead today is Bill Cosby's career.
Yeah, wow.
TV Land has announced they are dropping all the reruns of The Cosby Show. As of yesterday, you'll no longer see Rudy and Theo and Jambalaya and Honeypot.
I don't think there was a Honeypot or a
Skippy Joe.
And, Skippy Joe.
I don't really remember all the Cosby kids, but NBC announced they are no longer pursuing a deal they had with Bill Cosby regarding developing a new sitcom. That's no longer in development, according to the network. And Netflix, as I mentioned yesterday, did announce they are canceling their... It was supposed to be a Thanksgiving Day release of the new Bill Cosby comedy special, Bill Cosby 77. So, no more Bill Cosby career.
Hmm.
This is an interesting thing. I didn't know this, but I've been getting a lot of emails from folks saying yesterday on another radio show, Lou Ferrigno's wife was talking to the hosts and saying in 1967, Cosby tried to sexually assault her.
Wow.
Is that right?
Said in 1967, a date took her out with Cosby and his wife. They all went back to the Cosby house. The wife and the date disappeared. And Cosby tried to kiss her. Tried to get her to drink a drink that he prepared for her. She refused. She was able to fight him off and leave the house. But apparently, that's...
Wow.
That's 1967.
She's like the third or fourth woman this week to come forward with the Cosby story.
Yeah.
This week.
Yeah. She and Lou Ferrigno, by the way, have been married for 35 years. And she just told him... this week with that story when she heard it from these other women stepping forward. And we had mentioned that before, how sometimes other women stepping forward can give courage to other victims. And
yeah,
apparently that is the case now as we find out more and more of these stories from women.
Well, she should be careful because you don't want to make Lou Ferrigno mad.
Oh, Jesus.
You know what happens when he's the... God. But...
Mug said file with disgust.
I don't think that's funny at all, what you said there, Bean.
Wow, hi, Lou. Just making an incredible
wife
Hulk joke, that's all.
It. There you go. You're making things, saying things about my wife, and I don't even appreciate it.
Don't get mad and smash stuff.
What? What did he say? I didn't hear it.
You don't want to hear it.
What?
Can't hear me either.
What?
Today's celebrity birthdays. Nadine Velasquez.
Yes!
She was the hot maid from My Name is Earl.
Yes, she was.
She's 36 years old today. Davey Havoc from AFI. He is 39. Dierks Bentley is also 39 today. Joel McHale, our good friend Joe L. McHale, 43 years old today. The B Boys' Mike D is 49. And actress Ming-Na Wen, we've been talking about it all morning. She is a freak of nature. She's a phenomenon. She is in amazing shape. She's a martial artist, actress, smoking hot babe, and she's 51 years old, and it doesn't make any sense to any of us. How can that be? How could she be 51 and look like that?
It's a misprint.
You know, it's got to be a misprint. Agent of S.H.I.E.L.D. They probably have some sort of serum or something.
Stuff we don't, right?
It's like how they brought Phil back with the, you know, with the Tahiti Project.
That's true.
They probably gave her some sort of super serum. Keeps her young and hot forever.
How could we not think of that last hour?
Super babe serum.
Hmm.
I like it. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
You have just under 27 hours to go to KROQ.com or KevinandBean.com and enter to become Miss Double December 2015. Ladies, listen up. Seriously. The downside is you got to hang out with Kevin and Bean all year. But the good news is you get to go to Acoustic Christmas. You get to go to the Weenie Roast, April Foolishness, Kevin and Bean Singles Parties, Breakfast With, all the fun stuff we do throughout the year. You can represent the Kevin and Bean Show. What are we looking for, Kevin, if people want to go and enter today or tomorrow morning?
You have to be 21 or over. You have to send us three photos. Make them current, please. I mean, look, you're 49. We don't want to see a picture of you at 23. We need honesty here. We also don't need headshots. That doesn't help us a lot in a Miss Double D contest.
Although a pretty face is nice. There's not,
yes,
no,
of course.
You definitely want to have a pretty face, but we do. It is a total package kind of contest.
Correct.
And solo, not with someone else. Not a prom shot. Right, because then Dave has
to. Yeah, solo shot, right.
Yeah, because Dave has to cut out that other person.
Yeah.
Okay. Anyway, and I promise we're not creepy. We're very nice to the ladies, and you can ask any of them who have been Miss Double D.
I will not promise that. We are at times creepy.
Voice that you heard is our old friend Lightning, former producer of the Kevin and Bean Show, now working at KROQ.com. Hey, Light, how are you, buddy?
Morning, gentlemen. How you doing?
I know that this is a topic that is near and dear to your heart, this week's edition of Lightning Strikes, because you're a boobasaur, right?
I am.
A boobasaur?
Yeah.
That's a boob connoisseur, Kevin.
Okay. I've been on both sides of the fence.
Yes, you have. So is your wife.
Yeah, now, exactly.
Lightning was a girl. That's what he means
by
that.
Wait a minute.
Oh. Now, the question you asked the listeners this time around was what?
Well, it was real or fake. Let me give you some backstory here. So guys have been pretty divided for a long time since the breast implant. Is it real? Is it good if it's real? If it's good, if it's fake? The backstory is breast augmentation is the single most popular plastic surgery in the world.
Right. Still aren't enough of them, by the way.
Just behind liposuction.
Okay.
290,000 women had breast augmentation last year, a 30% increase over 2000.
I feel like there should be more applause, but there's not that many of them.
A sucky stat, by the way, is 41,000 women had breast reduction.
Well, when I'm the governor of California, that's going to be illegal, by the way.
Right?
So if you're going to get them out now before I run for office.
But I think where guys come down, we're like, they're unhappy with them, or the women who get ones that are too large
for their frame. Plastic.
For the frame, exactly. There are thousands and thousands of women who get the right size for their body.
Right.
And in those cases,
I feel like you're arguing right now.
this is the debate that we have around the office all the time. Literally, you can talk to four guys, and two of them will love them, and two of them will hate them. So I went on the street and said, guys, real or fake, and why?
Lightning can be deadly. Don't take chances with lightning. Stay safe.
Everybody say hey!
Lightning is violent and unpredictable.
Everybody say ho!
Even today, nobody fully understands the effect lightning has on its victims.
Everybody scream!
When lightning strikes, people listen.
Real or fake breasts? What do you prefer? And why?
Fake.
Why?
I don't know. I just think that they're more durable. They go more miles.
You like how they look?
Bought a couple sets myself.
You still have access to those?
No, I'm divorced twice, bro. I just pay for that now. It's way cheaper.
Real or fake?
I like them all. It's like a salad bar. You got to have a little bit of everything.
No, you got to choose.
I prefer the fake ones.
And why?
Because they look better.
They don't fall?
Yeah, they're kind of perky.
Yeah, I agree, fake, because they stay where they're supposed to be.
Yeah. No matter how old, right?
Yeah, they always look good.
Ever bought a set for anyone?
Heck no, you buy them for someone, they get used for somebody else.
So tell me, real or fake, what do you prefer and why?
It depends on how much it costs.
No, really, come on now. You know that fake is going to cost money, and real is free. So, but what do you prefer and why?
I'm a booty guy. This is just a plus, dude. Dude, when you're hitting it from the back, you want something to grab. It's just like extra credit work. You don't need to do it, but the back is where it's at. Sorry. I want to see the wave. Like, when I'm surfing, I want to see wave. Boom, boom, boom.
All right.
Surfboard, riding like a surfboard. That's it, man. Big ones are just... But the real ones are like, bam, 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 bam. Like you're really hitting it, you know? You hear the clap.
I take the silicone ones because you touch them and they like, the silicone ones feel like more round, more firm. The real ones, they're just hanging, they're dangling here and there.
For me, it's real just because the fact it is real and, you know,
I wouldn't say it's talent, but it's like something special when it's real, you know what I mean?
I don't care. Big is big.
What's too big?
I haven't come across that yet.
I'm going to have to go with real is real. Real is the way to go. I mean, fake is kind of, I mean, it's fake by definition.
Boobs are boobs. Hey, boys are always going to like them. Whether they're small or big, they're always good.
Do you prefer fake or real and why?
Real.
No, you were going to say fake. You stinking liar.
Real for sure. Because real are real. Fakes are mushy.
I'm a real man myself.
What?
You usually can identify fake.
Are you against fake or you just prefer?
No, to each their own. If they want to go that route, it's up to them.
How about you?
Real, because my wife's a real.
Pretend you're not married for a second so she can't get offended.
Well, my wife's right there. So
she's standing right behind us. All right, so every year, Kevin and Bean have a contest looking for a Miss Double December.
Okay. Oh, yeah.
All right, so a girl that's fairly well endowed to represent the morning show for the year.
Mike's well endowed.
There's a... Oh, he's going to come in right here. What cup size do you have there, sir?
Double D.
That's soon, too, isn't it?
What's that?
The pageant at Slide Bar in Fullerton, right?
Yes, it is. As a matter of fact, you guys been?
No, we should go this year, though.
We always hear it on the radio while we're working, and we're like, oh, why aren't we there?
You should definitely go. I mean, but by 7 a.m., it's packed. You can't get in.
Yeah. It's early, right? 6 a.m., 5 a.m.?
Got to look like a creeper. That's the bummer. But I mean, so the question is, real or fake breasts? What do you prefer and why? Both. Just not, but that doesn't work. You gotta get in one or the other.
My wife's got both.
Really?
How'd she fake?
How, really?
Yeah, she had D and now she's got triple D. Got her on my phone right here.
Oh, yes. Well, alrighty then. Okay. All right. So, real or fake?
Is this like a taste test?
No, it's not.
No, that's in Fullerton.
Yep. So there you go.
December 5th, by the way, Slide Bar in Fullerton is where we're going to crown Miss Double December 2015. That's great reporting, first of all, Light. I heard way too many details about our listeners' sex lives in that report.
Yeah.
And the problem is a guy like me who's looking for a woman with one of each. That's what I can't find. One real, one fake. They're hard, man. Hard to find.
That's just like a woman who's been in a tragic accident or something.
Yeah.
That's not good.
That's not
good a bad in any picture. Way. No.
Hey, thank you for that. You can follow Lightning on Twitter at KRocksLightning, by the way, and that is this edition of Lightning Strikes. Great to see you again. Let's open up the phone lines right now. If you want to join us for night number two of the sold-out 25th annual KROCK Almost Acoustic Christmas, we're going to give you a chance to win your way in. This is the night with Alt-J and Imagine Dragons, Interpol, assuming they get out of the snowstorm in New York, Modest Mouse, Smashing Pumpkins, Tears for Fears, U2, Vance Joy, and in particular, we are looking for this hour, Weezer fans. If Weezer is your band, then you got a good chance of winning the tickets next right here on KROCK.
We'll let that breathe. I like to step all over the ending of that music.
Yeah, no rush.
106.7 KROCK is KROQ. It's the Kevin and Bean Show. It is 7:26.
One of our favorite members of the extended Kevin and Bean family, Joe Rogan, joins us in about 10 minutes or so right here on KROCK, talking about his new special on Comedy Central, which you must see tomorrow night. First, though, who wants to go to night number two of the KROCK Almost
Take two.
Who wants to go to night number two of the sold-out 25th annual KROCK Almost Acoustic Christmas? Let's play a game we like to call Just a Second.
Just a Second!
How's this one work, Kevin?
Well, you get
Just a Second
of a song, and you have to tell us the title of the song. This time we're going to do all Weezer.
Oh, I like it. Weezer fans are rabid. I bet they'll do pretty darn well on this game. Who's up first?
First, we have Daniel in Los Angeles. Hi there.
Hey, guys. What's up?
Welcome to
Just a Second!
All right, so how many times do they get to hear it before they have to give us a title, please?
Two times. Two times, then we get a title. Here is your Just a Second. One more time.
Let's say that's the Back to the Shack.
Nicely done.
Very impressive. All right, you are in the drawing. Let's see what kind of competition you're going to have. Line two is up next from Norco. We welcome Autumn to the Kevin and Bean Show.
Hey, Autumn.
Hi.
Welcome to
Just a Second.
Here are your two clips. Identify the song.
What do you think there, Autumn?
Is it Say It Ain't So?
Yes, it is.
I had zero confidence in you getting that, and you nailed it. Nicely done.
Even if it was just a guess, it was pretty darn well done. All right, Robert's up next. Pasadena, line three, please. He's a Weezer fan. Hey, Robert.
Hey. Good morning, guys.
How you done so far?
I got the last one.
Last one, okay. All right, here's yours. One more time. Name that song.
My name is Jonas.
Sorry, that's Hash Pipe.
Now Hash Pipe is going to be your least favorite Weezer song forever because of that, but thanks for playing. Let's go to Maywood next, like that's a place. Brian's up on line four.
Hey, Brian.
What's up, Holmes?
What's up is...
Just a second!
You ready?
I'm ready, man.
Here it is twice. One more time.
Beverly Hills.
Nicely done.
I gotta tell you, Weezer has a lot of great songs.
They really do.
All right, you are in the drawing. Congratulations. One step closer to winning your tickets. Line five, how about Glendora and Yair? Yair joins us, Kevin.
Hi, Yair.
Hey, how's it going?
Good, thank you. You ready for your...
Just a second!
There you go. What's with this so, a bit of a giveaway.
Come on!
It's the first couple of seconds. Or 1 second, I guess.
Seems easy.
Yeah.
Buddy Holly.
Buddy Holly is correct. What's with this?
Right. All right. I think we got time for one more. How about Dylan in Lakewood? Line six, please.
Hey, Dylan.
Hello.
Hello. What are you, one of the Three Stooges? All right, here you go. One more time. He already got it.
He didn't need your second stinking clip.
He's got it. Nicely done.
Very impressive. All right. Yes to Dylan. Yes to Yair. Brian, Autumn, Daniel. A lot of great Weezer fans listening. We appreciate you all, but only one will be there for the sold-out 25th annual K-Rock Almost Christmas Day number 2. Beer Mug, who's our winner, please?
Yair!
Wait, Yair or Yay?
Yair!
Both.
Oh, my God, yes.
Yair, congratulations.
Oh, my God.
You win tickets to the sold-out K-Rock Almost Acoustic Christmas. Thanks for playing the game.
Just a second! We're going to talk sports with Southern California radio legend Jim Rome coming up in about 20 minutes. I wasn't going to tell you this, Kevin, but I want you to be as excited as I am.
All right.
I found a song that somebody wrote and recorded about Jim Rome, and I don't know if he's heard it or not, so we're going to play that for him when he comes on.
Is it super bad, super good?
Both.
Average? Both.
It is both of those things. It's hilarious, so we'll play that and talk sports, including how about those Lakers 2 in a row, huh?
2 in a row!
USA!
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 Isn't it funny how your expectations change from season to season? Two
I know, exactly.
It's unbelievable.
Two in a row seems like a championship run
now.
Yeah,
we're
Lakers.
On a run!
Hey, at least you're not the 76ers.
That's
all right, listen. Joe Rogan, who's going to be joining us in about a minute here on the Kevin and Bean Show, has a brand new special out that I have seen, and it is hilarious, as all Joe Rogan specials are. This one is called Rocky Mountain High, and it premieres tomorrow night at midnight on Comedy Central. In fact, from the special, here's Joe talking about telling a friend of his about the great state of Colorado.
You know about Colorado? Do you know about it? It's cold there, too, and they have legal weed. That's the way to do it.
First state to step up. First state to say enough is this f***ing baby nonsense. Treat me like a child. Tell me I can't have weed. First of all, everybody who tells you can't have weed, they all should get on weed. Every single one of those motherfuckers. They're the people who need weed more than anybody. The people that are trying to stop weed. Everybody says you're wasting your life. Oh, you're going to get paranoid. You getting paranoid? That's the best part. Everybody's afraid of that. Everybody's afraid of getting paranoid. I think it's a good idea to be paranoid now and again, because I think people are entirely too cocky for the situation that we're confronted with.
And then Joe goes on, as only Joe can, and he basically incites panic in his listeners, because no one is more aware of the things in this world that can kill us than Joe Rogan is.
Yeah, animals, germs, whatever it happens to be.
Right, exactly. So Joe's talking about you should be smoking weed because we really kind of take stuff for granted a little bit. We should be a little bit more paranoid about all the things that can kill us. And he just, like he always does, figures out a way to make it hilarious. Again, that's from Rocky Mountain High, debuting tomorrow night at midnight on Comedy Central. Very excited to welcome our friend Joe back to the Kevin and Bean Show. Hey, Mr. Rogan.
Hi.
What's up,
fellas?
How are you, man?
What's going on, my friends?
Well, we were just talking about, I saw your special last night, and it's awesome, and you owned that audience, my friend.
Oh, thank you. This is my favorite one. I think this is my best one ever.
It's great. Yeah, it's Comedy Central tomorrow night at midnight. And you seriously love Colorado, too, don't you?
I do. I really wish I could move there again.
You moved there, but then you hated it.
No, I didn't hate it. My wife got pregnant.
Oh, right.
We were
okay.
living in the mountains. I didn't just move to Colorado. I moved to the mountains.
Yeah. Right.
Way above Denver.
You moved into Bearville is where you moved.
Yeah, bears aren't the issue. Mountain lions are the issue. My dog got actually eaten by a mountain lion when I lived up there.
See, right there, that's my sign to just pack up and move back somewhere else. I do not need that in my life.
Yeah, it's not the best thing to happen to you.
Now, Joe, I know that you're generally very generous and very kind, and you brave the LA traffic, and you come down and see us, and I understand you're on the phone today because you're doing a bunch of interviews promoting your special, and I have to ask, because you haven't done much radio in a while. You don't do much terrestrial radio anymore. What's that been like for you talking to my brethren across the country today?
They've all been really cool. The only problem is I worry about swearing. Like when I go on your show, I accidentally swear like almost every time. I'm so used to doing uncensored podcasts that it just becomes almost second nature.
Yeah. You and all of our listeners, by the way, pretty much everybody, they use whatever words they use. They don't think about it. And we usually have a delay we can catch it with, so it's no big deal. But you are one of the better cursers.
Oh, thank you.
That's an honor.
Speaking of your podcast, is this true, Joe? And we all know you famously like to talk. Did you do a 5-hour podcast the other night?
Yeah, me and Ari Shaffir did a 5-hour podcast. Yeah,
was it therapy? seriously,
well,
what did
my
you?
Best friends.
What did you talk about for 5 hours?
We actually broke down. Ari has this amazing thing that he's doing with stand-up comics, where he has them go over their material and break down albums that they put out in the past. And we went over my CD, Shiny Happy Jihad, which was, up until this special, was my favorite one that I ever did.
Okay, so you go through it and you say, is it as strong as I remember, or is it as weak as I remember? What's the criteria?
Well, the idea is you go over it and you break down the material, like, what did you try to do here? Like, what was this about? Like, where did this come from? And, you know, some of them, I'm pretty honest about stuff. Some of them, like, oh, that one, that could use some editing. Like, when I listen to that now, I say, well, that's a little clunky, or, you know, this or that, or... It's just a matter of, like, and also explaining, like, various moments in your comedy career, like, where you were at, like, I was just coming off of bombing, and so
right.
I was, like, really trying to refocus on my stand-up, so it was a really long and involved podcast.
That's fascinating to me, though, because, I mean, the best comedians, and you're a great example, when you're up on stage, it looks to us in the crowd like you're just talking, just riffing off the top of your head. But you've put that stuff together, and you've honed it, and you've worked it, and you've edited it, and you've reworked it, and it's an art form, and you make it look easy. But once you start to break it down, I bet that's really interesting to hear the stories behind how the act got the way it got.
Well, I think Ari he's a brilliant guy, and he also is a guy who really loves stand-up comedy and really worked hard to become a great stand-up comic himself. So I think he appreciates every resource that's available, and one of the best ones is listening to other comics talk about, like, how they overcame certain obstacles or how they figured out how to write certain pieces. Or, you know, like, I was having a conversation once with Louis C.K. where he's talking to me about Chris Rock's famous bit about the difference between black people and the N-word.
Right, yes.
It's a beautiful bit. And apparently that bit bombed for, like, a long time.
Really?
Yeah, it bombed for like a year, and he was just trying to figure out how to make it work. He couldn't figure out how to make it work, but he knew that there was something there, and he kept working it and kept working it, and then eventually it became one of those all-time classic bits, and there's a lesson in that for comics. It's like sometimes some ideas are like, you know, a mine of like a rare mineral in the earth. You just have to figure out how to get it out. And some of them are just lying there on the ground.
Do you have some like that that you have tried and tried and you know there's something there, but you can't get it right?
Can't bring it home.
Yeah. Sometimes their time just passes. Like what was interesting to you, you know, X amount of months ago isn't interesting anymore. And
right.
You're still talking about it. And then you realize, you know what? I'm being disingenuous here, or I have to just let this go.
Damn it. That's such a great Dick Cheney joke. One day I'm going to get it right.
Yeah. Like if you had an awesome Ronald Reagan joke, like you might want to let that go.
Joe, you're one of my favorite comedians of all time. I love your work on the UFC. I like your weed, actually, to be honest, as well. But 5 hours.
I know. It's ridiculous.
Who's got that kind of time?
Well, to do it or to listen to it.
Listen.
Yeah, you see, that's the thing. Everybody always says that, but you don't have to. Like, you listen to, like, 10
listen
minutes.
Part
and
of
shut it.
It
off. Or listen to all of it, you know, over the course of, you know, two
points
lights or something. You know, you don't have to listen to it. That's the beautiful thing about it.
All right. Joe Rogan is on the phone. Rocky Mountain High is the special available on Comedy Central tomorrow night at midnight. Also on the Comedy Central app. Now, tell me, I know you got to go here, Joe, but what's this? There's an extended and uncensored version that I think will be of interest to your fans. What's that about? Like 18 more minutes or something?
Well, it's available right now. You could actually get it on Comedy Central Direct, and it's you could, like, before it even airs. Like, a lot of people have already downloaded it. It's $5, and it's totally uncensored, and it's 18 more minutes, because television now, if you do an hour television, it's actually only 42 minutes.
Right.
Which is crazy, right?
Yeah.
And so
force in all those commercials.
Yeah, so now it's available right now.
Great. You can get it through Amazon Instant Video or iTunes, Xbox Videos, Sony Entertainment Network, Vudu, Google Play, digital album also available. A lot of options. And you can see Joe Rogan live on stage this weekend. You're going to be at the Ontario Improv Friday night, Saturday night, Sunday night. Joe's one of the best. Tickets are just $25 at improv.com. Great to catch up with you, sir.
Love you guys.
See you soon.
Thanks for having me.
Thank you, Nick. It is the world famous K-Rock at 752.
Nick Poliankini.
Trevor.
Jim Rome joins us right after the top of the hour here on K-Rock.
That's right. I'm going to be on. Talking to Kevin and Bean.
You are going to be on, Jim. We'll be talking
to the greatest chuckleheads radio hosts ever in Los Angeles. Now I'm done.
Time for this showbiz beat or whatever it is he does. Here's Ralph.
You don't need anybody, man. Just keep me around. I'll do it all.
I say no.
That's right. Now you do. Kevin and Bean, two of the biggest radio legends in this market. It's an honor to be on your show.
No, thank you.
No, thank you to you, sir. You must have taken a bow to the dome to be thinking that these two are not the greatest.
No way.
Rome on Rome.
Yeah, we don't really even...
We get the lead singer of Sublime, man. It'd be Rome on Rome on Rome.
We are set. They'd do it in Italy, man. We'd be in business.
Rome on Rome on Rome in Rome.
Right.
Or in Alaska, we could do it Rome on Rome on Rome in Rome in Nome.
No.
Now I'm done. Now I'm done. It's all about Bill Cosby all the time here on the Showbiz Beat.
Yeah.
Stories are starting to fly fast and furiously. As we know, Janice Dickinson stepped forward this week and said that he also allegedly raped her back in the 80s. Now Bill's legal Marty Singer, his lawyer, is out in front of this saying it's an outrageous and defamatory lie. And he can prove it. His proof is an interview that he cites from Janice Dickinson from 2002, claiming that Mr. Cosby blew her off because she refused to sleep with him. So he's saying, which is it? Did she refuse to sleep with him and he left her alone, or did he drug her and force himself on her? So that remains to be seen. She also claimed that she was pressured to remove details about the alleged abuse from her autobiography, and he said that never happened. So I guess we'll have to wait and see. But things are not good for Bill.
No.
He's had his classic TV show, The Cosby Show, pulled from the TV Land cable network. They're dropping all the reruns of that show. Also, Netflix has dropped his new comedy special that they were supposed to air, and NBC has announced they will no longer be pursuing the development of a new sitcom for Bill Cosby.
I guess surprised he hasn't directly addressed this.
Well, it has worked for him for 10 years, Kevin. He just didn't say a word, and it never picked up any steam and just went away time and time again.
This is different, though.
This is different.
It has picked up steam. I don't know.
Does any of this happen if Hannibal Buress doesn't come out and do that routine?
I don't think it does.
Maybe
I think
not.
He's the one who relit the fire.
Then Lou Ferrigno's wife was on a radio show yesterday, and she said in 1967, Bill Cosby tried to force himself on her after a double date with her date and him and his wife. He tried to force her to have a drink that he prepared for her, so who knows what may have or may not have been in that drink. She doesn't drink, so she refused, but then he tried to kiss her and started to get physical with her. She was able to fight him off and get out of the situation, but Lou Ferrigno's wife now coming forward and saying that's the case.
Hmm.
And this was interesting, I thought. I am no fan, as you know, of Wendy Williams.
Right.
Talk show host Wendy Williams.
Yeah, she's horrible.
She's
unwatchable.
I can't believe that anyone connected to that show says yes at the end of a day's work and goes home.
I think they get great ratings.
I mean, I think they get good enough ratings to keep getting renewed. You're right about that.
But do you think anyone connected to that show says, we're doing good work here, team?
I don't know.
I like the work we're doing. It's really good. Now we're done. Think anybody's saying that over there in the Wendy Williams
show? It looks like if you ever come across Wendy Williams on your TV, it looks like a Saturday Night Live sketch.
Mm-hmm.
It looks like it can't be real.
It also looks like Keenan, or what's his name?
Keenan Peele, right.
No, there's the guy on Saturday Night Live. Keenan Thompson?
Yeah.
Like in a wig, in a dress, doing a talk show host character.
It also looks like the cameras are rolling before the actual show starts.
It's public access is really what it is.
It's really bizarre.
It's anarchy afterward is what it is.
It's not that bad. Let's not be rough on it. It's Let's Paint.
It
Santa Monica should be calling up
it's
to her
true.
Show. Anyway, she says that when she got her start, you know, she's a radio DJ initially. That's how she got
right.
her start.
Okay.
It nearly cost her her job back in 1990 when she came across an article in the National Enquirer about a woman who claimed that she had been drugged and raped by Bill Cosby. National Enquirer ran the story. She took the article and discussed it on 98.7 FM in New York there, where she did a segment called Dish the Dirt. I'm guessing it was much like a showbiz beat kind of thing.
Sure.
She started talking about it, and Cosby called up the GM of the station demanding that she be fired.
Wow.
She said she was yanked off air and brought into the GM's office where Cosby was on the speakerphone, and he proceeded to call her all sorts of names. But the GM decided not to fire Wendy Williams to give her another chance. So Bill Cosby tried to do the right thing by ending Wendy Williams' career for all the wrong reasons. But sadly, she was able to continue on. So this was going on from the 90s. And apparently, he had the sway back then to kind of scare people into silence.
It's so shocking, Ralph. And I know you talked about it yesterday some. Not just that he's a huge star and has been for my whole life, but that he's that guy, Bill Cosby, who we all looked up to and all respected and just seemed like the most law-abiding, civil, decent guy in the world.
The guy who was just all about fatherhood and
family,
and family and God and
respect, yep.
Respect and kids programming and electric company and, you know, Fat Albert and the Cosby gang. And
yeah.
Just everything
go to
that was
college,
good in show
yep.
business. And he's that guy. It's hard to reconcile. Plus, he's from Philadelphia.
Well, that
and
doesn't
only
help.
Great people come from Philadelphia.
That doesn't help at all.
You wouldn't think a Philadelphian would be capable of anything the least bit negative or aggressive.
That's true. That's what we know about Philadelphia.
And so, as a fellow son of Philadelphia, it hurts me to my quick, to
now,
my
does
core.
Does it? We've never addressed this, Ralph. Does it concern you how close to Philadelphia Taylor Swift grew up?
But it was very early on. We threw her out early. She was a child when we threw her out.
Does it count that she was born and raised in that part of Pennsylvania?
Well, it took us a while to discover her, and then once we did, we banished her.
You're like, no, gone.
So she's no stain on Philadelphia as far as you're concerned.
No, she is not. No.
Okay.
She's a stain on the world. So that Philadelphia counts there.
I guess it does, yes. Bill Cosby is less of a stain on Philadelphia than Taylor Swift is, actually. Taylor's gonna hate.
That should be his statement. Bill Cosby should come out today and say, I finally decided to address
the should
media.
Recite the lyrics of Shake It Off. Players gonna play. Just shake it off.
That's
shake
awesome.
It off. Shake it off.
This time it seems like an avalanche that he's not going to be able to dig his way out from.
No, he's done. He's toast. Huh. Now he's done. Today's celebrity birthdays: Nadine Velasquez, 36 years old today. Davey Havoc of AFI is 39. Dierks Bentley, 39 as well. Joel McHale, our friend from The Soup and Community, of course. And Ted, my co-star from Ted.
Sure.
43 years old. Mike D of the B Boys, 49 years old. And we've been talking about the miracle that she is all morning long. Actress Ming-Na Wen. You may remember her from ER. Perhaps you know her best and love her most as Agent May on Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. She's 51 years old today. That's just not possible.
Ralph, we got a very sweet tweet from Miss Wen
Sweet tweet. Our new section.
We don't have enough for a segment.
Sweet tweet.
She apparently caught wind of our birthday,
teat, by the way.
Birthday discussion on
it's
her,
a teat, yes.
And said, "You guys are such sweet talkers. Thank you."
Oh, that's what we're usually accused of as being sweet talkers.
Ming-Na Wen.
We sure do.
And her sweet tweets.
And her sweet teats.
Well, now you've ruined it.
Why?
Now you've sullied it.
I'm sorry.
It was all love until right then.
I apologize. I'm so drunk.
It just went south.
I'm so drunk this morning. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Thursday mornings on the Kevin and Bean Show means we catch up with two of our favorite broadcast professionals. 1 hour from right now, our weekly visit with Dr. Drew Pinsky. Right now, the great Jim Rome on the line, of course, from KFWB AM 980 Los Angeles at 9 o'clock this morning. Hey, Romy, what's going on, man?
Dudes, what's going on? What's up?
Pleasure to talk to you again. We've been very much enjoying you back on the radio in Los Angeles on The Beast. I wanted to ask you before we get into all the sports stuff, because I can't believe this is new to me, but the Jim Rome song was called to my attention recently. Jim Rome is a great sports radio guy. You know the song, I'm sure, Jim.
Have you?
You know, I actually know the song. I haven't heard it in its entirety, but it's actually written by a guy who did this amazing song about Jason Avant. So Jason Avant's a football player. He's pretty anonymous. He's really not that good at anything, but this guy hyped him up. And apparently, you know, I just kept hammering that on my show. I loved it. I loved it. And I think Dude made a song about me, too.
How have you not heard it? How have the clones not sent it to you en masse? It's a song about you, Jim.
I don't know, man. I'm just one of those guys who doesn't like looking in the mirror, doesn't like listening to songs about myself. I don't know. I just haven't gotten to it yet.
Well,
but
you're
if
about
you have it, I'll listen to it.
I have it, and it's by a guy, and he's actually very smart. Kevin, you'll love this story. His name is Matt Farley, and what he does is write songs about sports and puts them up on Spotify and other streaming services. And every time, you know, a Philadelphia Eagles fan, for instance, is strolling around in Spotify and sees a whole bunch of songs about Eagles players, he listens to them. Those streams all add up. He's making like $30,000 a year putting these songs up on the internet.
Really? Whoa, 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 whoa. Fact? Is he going to chip me off? What do
really?
I get for that?
Really? You get nothing. He writes songs about sports teams and sports figures. And here's a little bit of his song about Jim Rome.
Jim Rome, he is the man. Jim Rome has got a lot of fans.
Come
he
on.
He calls his fans clones. Yes, he does. Jim Rome is my number one choice. He's got a really good voice.
Oh.
He says, roam through the sports world with me.
Oh. How have you not replaced Welcome to the Jungle yet? Come on, Jim.
Oh, that'll be done top of the hour. And by the way, what he says is true. The problem with that song is it's the exact same song as Jason Avant. He just switched out Avant for me.
Yeah,
that's
it,
right. It feels like he probably has 500 of those, and they're all that tune.
How hard are you slumming if you're writing a song about Jim Rome, man? That is embarrassing.
He has written and published more than, are you guys ready? 14,000 songs.
Come on, man.
All of
14,000.
All of them identical to that one.
Yeah,
pretty much.
I am 13,999.
Well, I'm just saying, I want to start hearing it on your show, Jim. All right, let's move on. What a great and busy sports week as usual. Kevin, what did you want to start talking to Mr. Rome about today?
The 76ers are actually worse than the Lakers. How's that possible? They're winless.
No, you're right, Kevin. If the question is, are they the worst team
yes.
ever and are they tanking? The answer is yes and yes. And I thought the Lakers would give them a run for their money as the worst team ever. But then Swaggy P comes back and the Sixers are in a class by themselves. And let's be real, they should tank. In order to get real good in that league, you have to first be real bad. And they're garbage, and I applaud it. It's not easy being that bad. And they are the absolute best at being the worst. I like what I see.
There are a lot of people who say that the Lakers clearly are not going to win anything this year, so they should tank. And I think about that, and mentally, it sort of makes sense. You need to get a good draft pick, then you might turn things around. But my heart goes, I can't
well,
support
ethically,
that.
Ethically, it's indefensible. Ethically, you can't be a professional athlete and intentionally try not to win a game. That's just not feasible, right, Jim?
Yeah, it seems counterintuitive, doesn't it? I mean, from day one, you're hammered in. You got to compete. Winning is everything, but fact of the matter is, it's not. It's smart. Like, take the Lakers. They were cruising along, getting hammered every single night en route to a 1-9 start. And then all of a sudden, Nick shows up and he wrecks the party. Swaggy P is back and now the vibe is good and they're winning. You guys got to get beyond this whole, yeah, well, aren't they supposed to try? No. Aren't they supposed to win? No. They're supposed to lose. That's a top five pick they have to have. And if they keep winning and they're getting right, they're not going to get that pick. I'm telling you. You want to suck.
So
that's the whole key.
They're going to be mediocre at best and not have a good draft pick.
Yeah, give me an A or give me an F, but a C is going to get you nowhere. Like, for instance, Swaggy P. Last night he comes back, he compares himself to Michael Jackson and Prince. That, to me, is a concern. You don't hear the Sixers comparing themselves to Michael Jackson or Prince. They go out and they suck like Nickelback. That's the plan. That's good. They're terrible, and they're getting worse, and I like it.
But don't you think at some point the commissioner of the NBA seriously suspends your franchise or starts fining all the players or something like that if he doesn't feel your plan? Playing up to the best of your abilities.
Yeah, I'll tell you what, you think so, except that the fans get it. The fans are in on this. The fans are buying in. They don't want them to be good. They know they need the draft pick. Again, you can't get good unless you're really bad. So it's not like the fans are going to the commissioner and saying, I'm not getting my money's worth. These guys are going to the tank. In fact, the fans are concerned when they start to win, and I think Laker fans should be too.
All right, let's turn our attention to the NFL briefly. Jim Rome on the line here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Not since Tim Tebow have I seen a professional football player who's gone from the highest of highs in terms of the amount of hype he was getting to the lowest of lows to the point where he's barely making the team anymore. What's going so wrong for RG3?
Yeah, this dude's a wreck. This cat's a wreck. I mean, the thing about Tebow is people still love him, and people do not like RG3 right now. You know, as you point out, when he exploded on the scene, this guy had it all. He had freaky athletic ability. He had that it. He was killing it off the field. But all of a sudden now, he's just a guy that his coach doesn't like, a guy that his teammates don't respect. But that'll happen when you play as badly as he did last week, and then you run your teammates under the bus publicly, and then his head coach lights him up. So I think the bottom line is, he pretty much got his last coach fired, Mike Shanahan, for doing a lot less than what Jay Gruden just did to him publicly when he rapped him. I don't see how they reconcile. I don't see how it works. I don't see how the two of these guys coexist. Somebody's going to have to go, either the coach or the player. And if it's up to the owner, you know, Dan Snyder usually sides with that player because that's his guy, but I think that'd be a big mistake.
So
this
RG3,
guy's never going to be as good as he was.
RG3 became so hated because he didn't keep his mouth shut. Right? I mean, he should have just said, I'm playing poorly and I need to step it up.
And then address the other thing away from the microphone with his teammates in the locker room instead of in front of the media.
Yeah, exactly. My thing is, I wish these guys would all say more because they never say anything. This guy needs to stop talking. This guy needs to keep his teammates out his mouth. And the guy can't show up and say things like, after a really bad game, he can't show up and say things like, well, you know, Peyton Manning and Aaron Rodgers have to have guys around them play well. This guy should not be mentioning himself in the same sentence with those guys.
Yeah.
And believe me, when he pointed the finger at his teammates, they heard it and they didn't like it at all.
All right. And one more thing, Mr. Rome, while we're talking about players that don't talk, Marshawn Lynch fined another $50,000. I think he's up to $100,000 now. He's a Seattle Seahawk who doesn't talk to the media. And it's gotten even weirder than that lately. What's going on between him and Coach Pete Carroll? It seems like they're almost not speaking to the point where Marshawn Lynch doesn't even want to go in the locker room during halftime.
Yeah, that's weird. That's really weird. Except he's a really weird dude. That's just Marshawn Lynch doing Marshawn Lynch things. Now, I would say it's unusual that he's not talking to his head coach, but he really doesn't talk to anybody except for those around him that he trusts. I mean, that $100,000 thing, are you kidding? 50 grr for not talking Sunday, and then they hit him another 50 grand for not talking last year. I mean, $100,000 not to just show up and mumble a few at the end of the days we have to execute, or it is what it is. How is that worth it, man? How is that worth it?
There are hundreds of sports cliches that everybody uses. He could just use a couple of them and walk out.
Hey, guys, really quick, you know what's great, too? When he finally did show up in front of the media and they started to ask him football-related questions, he just started answering by saying who his favorite rapper was. You know, for instance, like, hey, Marshawn, is the run setting up the pass right now, or is it the other way around? P. Diddy. Hey, Beast, what did it mean to you to break Seattle's single-game rushing record last week? Oh, that's easy. Run DMC. Dude's great.
That's awesome.
Yeah, I don't know what's going to happen.
Unless you're his coach, that's awesome.
Will he be a Seahawk next year, Jim?
I don't think so. I don't think so. The thing is, I mean, he gets away with these things because he does produce. And even that day when he wouldn't go back in the locker room and he got treatment on the field, he got off for 120 yards. So they'll overlook a lot of things. My feeling is, though, when you think what he makes and that running backs are pretty much replaceable, I think that he probably is not there next year. Hey, Marshawn, is there any candy you like as much as Skittles? M&M.
All right. So much great stuff to talk about. And the conversation continues starting at 9 o'clock this morning over there on AM 980. It's the Beast. Tune in for the Jim Rome Show and then look for Jim on your TV on the CBS Sports Network this afternoon at 3. Hey, we probably won't talk to you next week because of Thanksgiving, Jim, but happy holidays, man. We'll do it again soon.
Man, happy holidays. Kevin, Bean, you guys are the best. Thank you.
This weekend, all 3 days, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday at the Los Angeles Convention Center, it's the L.A. Auto Show. Tickets start at just $12 at LAAutoShow.com. We look forward to it every year, A, because we like hearing about the new cars, and B, because it gives us an opportunity to catch up with our friend Bo Bachman, who joins us in studio. He's the Vice President of Galpin Motors, President of Galpin Premier Auto Group, and Galpin Auto Sports. Hey, Bo, how you doing, man?
I'm doing great. How are you guys doing this morning?
Very good, thank you.
Appreciate you stopping by. You're going down to the Convention Center right after the interview. What's up at 11 o'clock this morning?
Well, we are announcing our brand new, as we call it, the Ultimate American Muscle Car, which is all announced this morning. We haven't actually even told what it is.
Okay.
It's based on a Mustang, and it will be an all-carbon fiber-bodied car designed by Henrik Fisker, who, if you'll remember from the Fisker Motor Car Company.
The only thing I know about that is Bieber had one.
Yeah, well, right. He did.
But, that's all I know
but
about.
But more importantly, he designed beautiful cars like the Aston Martin DB9 and V8, the BMW Z8. So he is probably one of the greatest automotive designers of all time, and we're honored to work with him on this project. So we're excited to launch it at 11, and it's going to be a lot of fun.
Does that material make the car lighter, heavier?
It makes it lighter.
Stronger? What? Lighter?
It's a very lightweight but strong material. Traditionally, it's been extremely expensive, so very sparingly used, but now prices are coming down, so you're seeing more and more cars made out of carbon fiber and things like that. So
That's interesting.
Yeah.
People are always looking for ways to make cars look different. Even though there are hundreds of models of cars, doesn't it seem like 98% of them look about the same?
Absolutely. And that's why I go to work every day, to try to change that, you know, make it so people can have their own individual car that suits their own personal taste, you know. Be like wearing the same suit every day or something, you know.
Right. Now, the LA
we don't understand wearing suits.
Yeah, exactly. I put that.
has risen in prominence significantly over the last few years. I mean, it's not an afterthought anymore. It's a big deal.
Well, it really has become one of the best auto shows in the world, frankly. It used to compete with the Detroit Auto Show, but now, you know, it's right between Japan and New York, and it's been the place. You know, L.A. is the car capital of the world, in my opinion, so it should be the best car show that there is, and it's finally getting the attention where car manufacturers are putting the importance here. So
we spend a tremendous amount of time on our cars.
Yes.
It's true in the city.
Yeah.
The car company that gets the most press, it seems like, is Tesla. And that's also the brand that I see the fewest of on the road. Why the disconnect, Bo?
I see a bunch.
Yeah, I see them a lot out here. Maybe where you're at, they don't have as many of them. I don't know. But
we have a Tesla dealer, but I just don't see very many of them. Are they still too expensive for most folks?
They are quite expensive. I mean, they're a beautiful car, don't get me wrong, but they're well over $100,000. But they're a nice car.
It's the first. I've never seen a dealership with a car inside a mall before.
Yeah. Well, actually, that had
weird.
Been done before, but this is... Saturn did that a little
dealer
bit.
But, yeah. Inside the mall.
That's
who's window shopping for a car here?
That's part of their strategy.
Next
is they're opening
Macy's
these little things. Yeah.
It's weird.
What's the future of Tesla? I mean, are they working on a more consumer-friendly model for price?
They're coming out with an SUV, I think, in about a year. And they are working on a supposedly more affordable car. And they're building this Gigafactory, which I think is going to be like the biggest building in the world or something like that, up in Reno.
Wow.
To build batteries. So that's
in America? They're building something in America that makes stuff?
Exactly.
I didn't think that was allowed.
Is the battery,
in Nevada?
Is the battery the thing they can't solve?
That's the biggest cost. Yeah. So like the battery on a Tesla costs more than most cars.
Wow.
So, yeah.
Well, that is a wow. Are you surprised, Bo, as a guy who's been in the auto industry his whole life, are you surprised that we haven't made more of a dent in using alternative fuels to run cars? That yeah. Almost all of us are still using old school gasoline cars.
Absolutely. When I was a kid, we opened up the first methanol station in the United States, and we were doing conversions to methanol, which at the time in the valley, what came out of the tailpipe was cleaner than what you'd breathe going outside. So, you know, we saw a real future in that. It didn't really, in fact, it was called Future Fuels. It didn't take off. We've tried methanol again and again, hydrogen, you know, natural gas.
Can you put your finger on why those never made it?
Distribution, you know, getting the car filled up is one of the main concerns, just like with electricity and why they're putting out all these, you know, electric charging stations now. That's been the main problem with it, but it's you know, unfortunately, gasoline it's a very efficient fuel for that. It just, unfortunately, causes pollution.
And the good news, bad news is that we're, like, for instance, right now, gas is cheaper than it's been in years. So there's not a lot of incentive for people to go out and say, hey, I think I'll trade in my gas, you know, my gas running car for an electric car because gas is pretty cheap right now.
It is, which kind of took us all by surprise. So.
Now, let me ask you about one more car before we take a break. This is Bo Bachman here on the Kevin Bean Show from Galpin Motors talking about the L.A. Auto Show at the Convention Center. I understand that this year and at this show is the return of the Maybach. Tell me about that.
Well, that was, you know, Mercedes' ultimate luxury car. And it used to be its own brand, and now they're just really bringing it back as the top of the line S600 or whatever. So the back seat is just unbelievable. You know, reclining chairs and, you know, everything that you can imagine in your home.
Is there a movie theater? Surround sound?
There is a movie theater.
An open bar.
Surround sound. There is an open bar back
with
there.
With a bartender?
You definitely could get a bartender back there.
What's that going to run us?
I don't know. I've heard ridiculous things like up to $1 million or something. I don't know. I don't know that.
Well, I'm sorry I asked that. I didn't know it was one of those. Okay. L.A. Auto Show. We got to take a break with Bo. When we come back, we want to talk about the new Chrysler models, the new Cadillac models. Mazda has a new SUV that looks intriguing. There's a lot of good stuff going on, and whatever else you've got going on with Bo Bachman here on the Kevin Bean Show. We'll return right after this on K-Rock. Dr. Drew Pinsky joins us in about 20 minutes or so right here on the Kevin and Bean Show. And keep listening for your chance to win tickets to the sold-out 25th annual K-Rock Almost Acoustic Christmas Concert coming up at 9 o'clock. Our friend Bo Bachman's in studio with us right now from Galpin Motors. Hey, Bo.
How you doing, guys?
Bo was just telling us about the ultimate muscle car that's going to be unveiled at the L.A. Auto Show at 11 o'clock today. Before we take a couple of calls, by the way, because the lines are lighting up at 1-800-520-1067, let me ask you a couple of other things. Cadillac is back with a car that goes 185 miles an hour. Who's that a draw for? No one can use it to go 185 miles an hour, so why does it matter that it can?
Well, you know, who needs 500, 600, 700 horsepower either? It's kind of you know, bragging rights. And you can rent out tracks and take them out on the track and do those types of things. So you can have fun with a car like that. Why not?
I never thought of renting out a place like you can't.
We have track days all the time.
Really?
You get a spot. You can take your car out, you know, Willow Springs or, you know, a lot of cool places to go.
Huh.
And actually, you know, totally take your car to the limit. So
and
it
not
can be
get
done.
A ticket.
And not get a ticket.
Wow, that's
or arrested.
How about also unveiled at the LA Auto Show this weekend is the 2016, not 15, 16 Ford Explorer.
Yes, and it is very cool looking, beautiful, and Ford's just done a tremendous job with, I think, all their product line, but that Explorer is tremendous.
Well, how does the timeline work? How do they announce now a 2016?
Well, everything's coming out so early, so that 2016 will be out probably, you know, the first part of 2015. I'm not
exactly
sure
then call
sure
it a 2015.
I don't know why they do that. It's
come on.
It's annoying to me, too. It used to be every cars came out in September. They all hit at the same time.
Right.
And, you know, the world was a good, normal place, and now maybe
it makes you feel like you're getting a little something special by calling it next year's model.
Yeah, and they try to do that for residual values and things like that, but it is kind of silly.
Huh. It says it has a new engine. What's new in it?
That I don't know.
Okay. Speaking of Ford, let's go to Mike on line one, please. He's in Santa Clarita. He's actually got a question for you, Bo.
Hey, Mike.
Hey, guys. Hey, party people.
Hi.
Hey, Bo.
What's your question?
Question is, I called last year and I asked about diesel technology. Now you got Chevy with the Colorado, you got Dodge with their Ram, the 1500 gets 28 miles per gallon. What's up with the F-150?
They are looking into diesel engines, and they have been studying it. They really look at it from a practical point of view, because if you actually look at the cost of a diesel engine plus the cost of the, you know, the extra cost of the fuel, mathematically it really doesn't pencil that well. But the truth is there's a lot of people out there that just love diesel trucks. They use them for work. They leave them out for a long time. So, you know, you have them on the higher series, so the 250s, 350s, but they're exploring the idea for the 150s, and we'll see.
So no diesel for you, Mike.
Thank you for the call.
Not yet.
What's the best-selling car in America these days, Bo?
It's still the Ford F-Series. So trucks, and right now, especially with gas prices, trucks and SUVs, once again, are the top sellers.
Yeah. Isn't that interesting?
Yeah.
Greg is in Covina. He's on line three. He's going to change topics on a little bit. I'm eager to hear what you have to say about this.
Hey, Greg.
Hi there.
Hi,
Quick question for you, Bo. Iconic brands such as Volkswagen, seems to be struggling right now in a booming market. What's your take on Volkswagen?
Well, Volkswagen is a great brand, and they really do have very strong products. You're talking about diesel. Their TDI technology is, I think, the best that's out there for cars. Frankly, there are just some key markets that they haven't been in, and that is actually the SUV market. So where the SUVs are really taking off, theirs are a little bit not quite as refreshed as some of the others, but that is going to change very soon. So they've got some really cool cars and SUVs that are coming out.
So if more than half of the car-buying public wants to buy large vehicles, they can't even think about Volkswagen.
Well, they do. For a large SUV, yeah, that's true, because there's the Max is a five-passenger Tiguan.
Right? Yeah.
So it's a medium. They have a smaller and a medium size. But, like, the small SUVs are really taking off right now. Mazda and Honda are both announcing theirs, I think, yesterday or today. So that's kind of the new hot segment again.
What are you doing at the gas exhibit?
Oh, we've got, all kinds of – we got our 50th anniversary Mustang down there that's all black and gold and 79 style, you know. And
is it yellow? Is there some yellow like Ralph's?
It's not yellow like Ralph's. By the way, I love Ralph's car. And
it is banana yellow, though, right?
It's isn't that like grabber orange?
It is, yeah. That's what
that's
they say.
What he claims.
Yeah, yes. They say. But it drives
Ralph is right. He knows what his car is.
Yeah, it drives him crazy though, so we call it yellow. It just makes him.
I just saw it outside. It looks beautiful.
Yeah, of course.
All right. In our remaining moments here, what haven't we talked about the LA Auto Show that you think people should see if they come down this weekend?
Oh, the Shelby GT350 is absolutely stunning down there, and that is one amazing car that everyone should really check out. So, and the Aston Martins, of course. You know, we're representing Aston down there, and we've got some beautiful cars. And, you know, the whole show is just a great experience for kids of all ages. I hate saying that, but it's really true. You get down there, and everything to see in one place, and it makes for a great day.
Can you buy stuff there, or you're just looking at what's going to be available?
There's some cars that are available for sale. We can't buy anything physically there,
right.
But you can run down to the dealer right after that.
Oh, I see. Once you see it, you can go get it from somebody.
Yeah.
I also wanted to mention quickly that Bo has always been such a supporter of our charity, my wife and I's charity, Friends and Helpers.
Oh, thank you.
And we have every single holiday it comes around, and we need trucks, and Bo says whatever you need. And that's insane.
You know, you guys do amazing work, and what you do is important for the community. And, it's our job to support what you do, man.
I feel that that's true, too. But you just say whatever you need. Like, you don't even want to know sometimes. If you need 15
trucks. Well, Melissa works
trucks,
so hard to take
care.
I mean, it's really amazing what you guys do to help others. And that's very inspiring for all of us.
Well, we appreciate your support, as always, because that's what helps it. You know, make 100% of the money go to the actual families.
Awesome.
Is that we don't have to pay for the trucks because you donate them. So,
Bo Bachman is the vice president of Galpin Motors, the president of Galpin Premier Auto Group, and Galpin Auto Sports. You can look for him at the LA Auto Show today, starting at 11 o'clock as they unveil the ultimate muscle car. And the show is going on all weekend long. LAAutoShow.com. Tickets just $12. Bo, if we don't see you again, man, happy holidays. Thanks for coming in.
Happy holidays.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. You are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show at 8:53.
Hey, don't forget, at the end of the show tomorrow, 10 o'clock tomorrow morning, is when the deadline will pass for you to submit your entry to be Miss Double December 2015. If you think you have what it takes, then go up to KROQ.com right now, put in your answer a couple of questions, be 21 and up. What? Where are you guys
going? When are we going to start banning Bean from this actual broadcast? Is there going to be a day where we go, you stay home, the rest of us will handle it?
You make Bill Cosby look uncreepy.
By the way, the copy that I am looking at says, do you have what it takes to be Miss Double December? I said was, if you have what it takes.
Here's what I'm saying. Ralph could have said that. I probably could have said that.
Marks Buzz Aldrin could have said it. And it wouldn't have sounded as creepy.
It's who it's coming from.
I'm not. Look, that's on you guys. It's not me being creepy. You're
like
hearing something
that's
not
there.
Like
you said to Kevin when he was going to host the Anarchy afterward. You have to know yourself. Know thyself.
Know your limits.
If you are 21 and up and would like to be Miss Double December 2015, please enter by the close of the show tomorrow. And again, great benefits to you because you get to go to Acoustic Christmas, including this year. You get to go to Weenie Roast next year, April Fool's, just all the good stuff. It's going to be a lot of fun. Go to KROQ.com.
Yes.
All right. Ralph is here. Time for another look at the Showbiz Beat here on a Thursday.
Don't accept any pills or wine from Bean, however, when you meet him at backstage
How
at any of these events.
Dare you?
Because the next thing you know, Bean's all, I can help you with your career, with the singing and the acting and the modeling and service and her.
Allegedly.
Bill Cosby, I can't keep up with all the women who are coming out and saying that he sexually molested and assaulted and in some cases raped them, allegedly.
All right, let me try to give you a quick recap. Lou Ferrigno's wife, Carla, said on the radio yesterday that in 1967, when she was just a teen, a date took her out with Cosby and his wife. They went back to Cosby's house. The wife and the date disappeared, and Cosby tried to sexually assault her. She doesn't drink, so he tried to get her to drink something he had concocted for her. So she refused, and then he just decided to try to force himself on her. She was able to fight him off, she said. She and Lou Ferrigno have been married for 35 years, and she only just told him this story now, she says, because she heard another woman come forward with her story about Bill Cosby. So I think that is often the case. As women hear other women start to talk about this, they are getting emboldened and coming forward and telling their stories.
Imagine if you think you're alone and you're accusing a guy of that status that's revered and everybody worships him and all that. You would just think it's going to be a nightmare.
Another woman in Florida today said that she was in Vegas and caught him in a show, and he invited her backstage, and the same thing happened. Drinks and drugs, and then rape, allegedly. So,
Hey, I have another question.
Four women this week, by the way. Four women
this
week.
Doesn't it seem like Bill Cosby, as rich and as famous as he was at the time that many of these allegations were made, wouldn't have had any trouble finding women who would have willingly slept with him?
Yes.
Yeah, that's weird.
That's what even makes this more confounding.
Well, here's the thing.
A, willingly. B, could have paid for it.
Here's the thing, guys, that you may or may not recognize, is that sexual assault, in many cases, is not really about sex. In many cases, it's about power, and it's about violence, and it's about aggression towards women very often. And it's a deep-seated, often psychological issue. And rarely is rape about sex.
Just having sex.
Yeah. So let's not confuse the two and realize that this is an act of violence against these women more so than it is a sexual act. And it's repulsive beyond comprehension, especially when you compare it to the image that Bill Cosby has had his entire public life that flies in the face of all of this. So really, really disturbing. Wendy Williams, by the way, the talk show host, said that when she was on radio years ago, back in 1990, she came across an article in the National Enquirer about a woman who claimed Cosby did this to her, drugged and raped her. She went on the air in New York with this story, and Cosby himself called up the GM of her radio station and demanded that she be fired. And she talked to him via speakerphone after the event, and he came at her, like, in her words, like a wild pit bull, screaming and yelling at her. And look, his lawyers come out today trying to shut up Janice Dickinson, claiming her story is a lie. So
he's been convicted of nothing. He's been charged of nothing by the police.
That's right.
Okay. Yeah. But there's a lot of
smoke. Almost all of these cases are coming out after the statute of limitations is passed.
Yeah.
Even if there was convincing evidence that it happened, he couldn't be charged with these crimes.
The one civil case was settled out of court. He wrote a check to a woman to make her go away, and the part of that deal was her silence, so we'll never know her story. But disturbing stuff on many, many levels. Also disturbing is the fact that Mike Nichols has passed away, legendary movie and Broadway director. Mike Nichols, dead at the age of 83.
Ralph, is there a lot of crossover between movie director and Broadway?
No, that's what made him sort of unique.
Yeah, that's
weird. He would go back and forth all the time. A lot of guys get their start directing stage and then move to film, but it rarely goes back and forth. The guy who did, I can't think of his name right now, but the guy who did Chicago.
Right. Mm-hmm.
He was a stage director and goes back and forth. Steven Soderbergh sometimes does that.
But they're rare, huh?
They are rare. He started on stage. Mike Nichols was a performer before he became a director. He and his partner, Lane May, back in the late 50s and early 60s, were one of the most popular sketch comedy duos of the day. And if you want to do yourself a favor, if you want to sort of see some undiscovered Mike Nichols, you can go on YouTube and check out this couple of Nichols and May and watch some of their sketches. And they still hold up, still funny stuff. And then he went on to direct Broadway and then the movies. Famously, of course, The Graduate, which was a groundbreaking film for him and star Dustin Hoffman. Working Girl won an Oscar for that as well. Barefoot in the Park, The Odd Couple, he did on stage, but in film, known for working with Meryl Streep quite often. Silkwood. He did a movie called The Birdcage, which was great. Closer. Death of a Salesman he did back on Broadway a couple years ago. He was working on something, again, a new project for HBO with Meryl Streep when he passed away. So.
Here's all you need to know. He's one of the very few EGOTs in the world. He won the Emmy, the Grammy, the Oscar, and the Tony. There aren't very many entertainers that can say that.
So, 83 years old. He will be missed. And the good news, though, in show business is Mickey Rourke has announced he is reviving his boxing career.
Yeah! Oh, no.
Oh, yeah.
No, no.
The 62-year-old actor has said it's been some 20 years since he hung up his gloves, but he is coming back.
Nope.
A 5-round match versus a 29-year-old professional boxer named Seymour Elliott in Moscow, Russia.
Bang, bang, bang.
On November the 28th, this all happens.
No. Is he trying to get in the new Expendables movie or something?
He's been in them, hasn't he?
I think he's been in them. Yeah. I think he's trying out for the new Rocky film.
Jeez. Come on. How old is he, did you say?
He's 62.
That's it. Just 62.
Well, that's when you hit your prime as a boxer.
Absolutely.
He's 62, but he doesn't look a day over 82.
No, he does not. You know, his plastic surgery just started to settle in on his face. What's he want to go get it all beat up for?
This is terrible.
Well, he's being coached by Freddie Roach.
What?
So he might have a shot.
Really?
I said to Mickey, you have a lot of boxing talent left in the tank. I think you should get it back in the ring at 62. And then he wrote me a big check. I don't say nothing bad about anybody. You're an asshole.
What do you guess they're paying Mickey Rourke to fight in Moscow
at
62 years old?
I have no idea.
And is that why he's doing it? Is because he's broke again?
Boy, it's impossible to tell, but I can't imagine there's any other reason other than money.
Let me hear you. Here's his quote. It says nothing about money. Boxing is a serious part of my life. It taught me respect and determination, patience and concentration. I always dreamed of fighting a match in Russia. Don't we all?
No, we don't.
Okay.
I would like also to announce that I also am announcing my return to professional boxing.
I don't think you were ever a professional boxer.
I am announcing that I'm about to become a professional boxer.
Okay.
I have not stepped into a gym or a ring in about 2 years, but I think I'm ready, and I'm going to go fight in Pacoima. I'm going to fight a Russian guy in Pacoima. I can't really get to Russia. But
good luck with that.
Thanks so much. Looking forward to it. And Cocky Roach is my coach, Freddie's cousin. Cocky says I have what it takes. I'm looking forward to getting back in the ring.
That's not going to end well.
Today's celebrity birthdays. Nadine Velasquez is 36 years old today. Davey Havoc of AFI is 39, as is Dierks Bentley. Joel McHale's 43. Mike D of the B Boys is 49. And actress Ming-Na Wen. You may know her best for her work in Marvel's Agent of S.H.I.E.L.D. as Agent May. She was also on ER. She is lovely. She is talented. She is ridiculously hot. And she's 51 years old today, and none of that makes any sense to me. That's why I have to get back into the boxing game, because I need to figure some things out. Taught me respect and admiration.
Yeah, that's not going to work out well for you.
Cocky's got me. He's going to get a training program. Is that right? I'm really going to hit it hard.
I want you to go beat up that slab of beef.
That's a beer mug, Cocky. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Hey, let's catch up with our good friend Dr. Drew Pinsky, who joins us on the phone right now. He's the co-host of Loveline and, of course, Dr. Drew on Call, weeknights on HLN at 6. Hey, Doc.
Hey there.
We got a lot we want to talk to you about, but we need to do something first here, if you don't mind. We had your name came up with one of our guests on the air earlier this week. I don't know if you heard about this or not.
I did not. Tell me.
We had Tears for Fears in here, and they're going to be playing the Acoustic Christmas Show in a couple weeks, as you know.
Yep.
And we were asking the guys, and I think it's Roland who answers the question. We were asking the guys, because they've been played on K-Rock since back in the early 80s. What do you remember about back in the day being on K-Rock? And their answer kind of surprised us.
Remember, lots of things. But I think the thing that stands out to me still is the Love Lines. That was always fun, slightly uncomfortable show to do.
Yeah,
and there's lots of mentions of diseases and stuff like that. And
a lot of that.
You know, I don't know, the guy, the doctor used to give me the creep.
Dr. Drew? Dr. Drew, yeah, he's pretty creepy.
Just a little bit, standing next to him. I used to think, what am I going to catch?
So you made quite an impact on Tears for Fears, Doc.
That's so funny. I love those guys. I barely remember having them in there. But what's fascinating to me about his comment is he's so right. Back in the 80s, the predominant topic was HIV and STDs. That's the reason I got involved in the show in the first place. Oh. No one was talking about that. There was no internet. There was no place for young people to go. There was not even a term safe sex yet when we started those programs.
Wow.
And we were amongst the first to advocate condom use. And that was the big topic. And it was mysterious to everybody, and it freaked everybody out. And I just sat there and answered questions about infectious diseases most of the night.
And there you were, just trying to do the right thing as a physician, and all these years later, now all you know is your guest was thinking, this guy's creepy.
Well, but he didn't say I was creepy so much as I creeped him out thinking about all those diseases, which was right. A common reaction.
Yeah, like you had them all to talk about them.
I was taking care of AIDS patients hand over fist. It was a sad time. People don't realize how terrible that was. They forget.
Yeah,
I would sit down and tell people they had 6 months to live every day, and I was never wrong.
Wow. People, you're absolutely right, Dr. Drew. People do not express enough gratitude that we live in the safest time ever to be alive.
Not only that, it's one of the most amazing stories in the history of medicine, that in the course of a decade, we identified a syndrome, found an epidemiology, figured out a causative agent, develop treatments, and now it's become a condition that people can live with for years. It's amazing. Syphilis took 1,000 years to figure out, and this was a decade and a thing emerged, treated, and taken care of.
Yep, you're absolutely right. Hey, I watched your show last night, and of course you couldn't help but spend the first 45 minutes of it talking about the Dr. Bill Cosby situation, and there are so many different angles. Let me start with Dr. Drew, since you interviewed personally last night one of the ladies who accused sexual assault by Bill Cosby. What do you make of all these women coming out of the woodwork after decades? Why wait so long to address this problem and get this guy off the street?
I think as much as anything, it's hard to say. I mean, it's sort of a perfect storm in a way, because I've been hearing stuff from people for a long time. I'd never heard such explicit stories about rape, and who knows if this is true or not. These are all allegations. His misbehavior has been talked about for a long time. And I think it may have something to do with social media. The fact that he tried to his gaffes on social media were so bad, and there was such a – and then, you know – and Burris, the comedian that came
Hannibal
out.
Hannibal Burris, right.
Came out, and that created – I just think the fact that the social media has created such a mentality – again, we talked about the mob mentality, but here it is where something where it's caught on and information has flowed so quickly that – and this guy did not have a response to it, did not know how to respond to it, and it just caught fire.
Let me ask you this. It's a difficult topic. We can't – You can't say something that's not true about somebody. We don't have any idea.
We can't call him a rapist or we'll be sued because it hasn't been proven. He hasn't been charged. He certainly hasn't been convicted.
That's right.
So what do we do with all of the women that are coming forward? Of course, you hope it's not true, but it seems like where there's smoke, there's fire.
And it's past the time. You know, there's a statute of limitation and all this.
What is the statute?
We asked Joan Tarshis last night what she wanted to get out of this, what she intended. And she basically said that it just wanted to support the other women who'd been through this and any other women who'd been a victim. It took her, you know, she was a drug addict, and this sort of put some fuel behind her addiction, as trauma often does. And this is not an uncommon story. What was also not uncommon about her story is that she didn't even realize she had been raped until she'd been sober quite some time and started looking at her history. And then she looked at it and thought, wow, and she started telling the story in meetings about how she had been raped. I don't know if she named names, but this became part of her war story.
And you also, and I wanted to address this too, Dr. Drew, because I think this is really important, and you spent some time on this last night. You also talked about how nobody should be victim shaming. Nobody should be blaming the victim. Yet that's exactly what's happening with Janice Dickinson because of her sketchiness and because of her availability to reality TV and stuff like that. And that's kind of putting people in a difficult spot right now because they want to believe her because she's a woman who's coming forward with a story that might be true. But on the other hand, how reliable is she?
Well, it's sort of sad to me. And poor Janice has kind of gone into hiding. But she's, you know, she's a very tough woman. She can handle this. What I have found extraordinary is Janice is, in many of these women who come forward, tell a story which is so common, which is, geez, I had sexual abuse in childhood, and then I was re-victimized a few times. I've literally had attorneys turn to me and go, oh, really? Everybody abuses you? That's how it works? And I thought, oh, my God, you still don't understand. That is how it works.
Yeah.
People that are victims, victimizers sniff them out. They freeze in that in that moment when they're being victimized, and they make victims. They're attracted to, strangely, as I've said again and again in this program, humans reenact the past. They are strangely attracted to the circumstances and people that are reminiscent of the traumatizers of the past. Not intentionally, not consciously, they end up being in those situations, and of course the victimizer is obliged by reenacting it quite the same.
That just seems so counterintuitive that they had such a terrible trauma when they were younger, and somehow they're
reenacting,
recreating.
It is completely counterintuitive, and that's what people have trouble getting their head around, but that's how the human works.
And Janice Dickinson will say, look, if you think I've done a lot of crazy things over the past 25 years, part of the reason why is because I was sexually abused. That's what turned me crazy.
That's exactly right. And then re-victimized. And she's told me many stories over the years about her re-victimization and how angry she is about it, and how she one day would like to tell the story, and because she knew other people were out there that had to have been victimized as well. So I'm not surprised she came forward.
Cosby can't come back from this, right? He's finished as an entertainer.
That's the crazy part about this. You know, the statute of limitations are over. But again, as we have discussed on this program, here's social media now creating a firestorm and affecting somebody's employment. I mean, he's not going to – certainly those jobs are gone that he was planning to go ahead with a series with NBC. Gone.
Right, right.
And, careful, everybody. I mean, maybe it's appropriate in this case, but, boy, social media is extremely powerful and can change people's lives. And when the mob gets going, it can be awful.
Yeah. Are all of the accusations past the – statute of limitations?
That's my understanding. I've not spoken in detail to an attorney about this, but I
everything I've heard is the most recent one I've heard is 2005, I think. So.
Yeah, I believe that's true. And again, it's what's interesting is it's bad enough that the America's Dad and an advocate for child development and what has such bad behavior as a husband. I mean, that was apparently well documented.
Right.
The rape part is the new piece that's putting people over the top.
Well, great stuff as always. Dr. Drew, of course, is the host of Dr. Drew on Call on HLN Monday through Thursday nights at 6, and of course, 5 nights a week with our own friend Mike Catherwood on Loveline Sunday through Thursday nights at 10. We enjoyed it, even if you are creepy, Doc.
Yeah.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. You're listening to The Kevin and Bean Show at 9:44.
I hate him.
I hate who? Muggs?
Him, yes.
Yeah.
What?
Yeah.
I didn't do anything.
What did Muggs? Oh, did he steal your pen again?
No.
He's here.
Well, Bean was asking, I don't see Ralph. He's and I said,
such a mealy mouth tool.
I'm not going to talk forever.
Promise?
Oh,
yes.
My God. This is the best day of my life.
But you know what his promises mean. I'm never going to screw up again. I'm always going to have this guitar riff ready for October. I'm never going to talk again. I'm going on a diet today.
It's just one lie after another.
My relationship is rock solid with my girlfriend.
Muggs equals lies.
That's right.
Muggs, why would you even say, I'm never going to talk again? Like, why would that even occur to you as a thing that you could say that is possibly sustainable in this job?
And how would you believe that for us that would be a negative, like you're showing us? We would love that.
Oh, he's not talking now. He's never going to talk again.
All right. Punch to the junk. The first word I hear.
I think that's fair. Sounds reasonable to me. All right. Time for a final look at the showbiz beat. Here's Ralph.
Sad news. Legendary director Mike Nichols has passed away. Dead at the age of 83. The man who gave us the movie The Graduate. Also Working Girl and Silkwood and Heartburn and Postcards from the Edge and Day of the Dolphin, Birdcage, Closer, just an amazing body of work. Also worked in the stage as well, directed Death of a Salesman a couple years ago, and Who's Afraid of Virginia Woolf in movies and on theater, Barefoot in the Park, The Odd Couple. He was a legend, and no cause of death was given, but he did pass away at the age of 83 this week.
Also, a longtime husband of Diane Sawyer, right?
That's right.
You're going to say that, I apologize.
Just get into that.
Who is he married to, Ralph?
What's going on at the end of that table there with Diane Sawyer and Mike Nichols? It looks like you're getting married.
Pizza first!
Great TV news. One of my favorite TV shows on television by far. One of my favorite TV shows on television. That's where most of the TV shows are on
that
television.
Is where they are, yeah.
Is HBO's hit political comedy, Veep.
Love it.
It really, I think, is the only television comedy that makes me laugh out loud when I'm by myself. Just, I howl.
And consistently.
Every episode.
Top five funniest show on TV. Absolutely.
Hugh Laurie, it's been announced, is joining the cast.
For those of you that aren't from Philadelphia, his name is Hugh.
Hugh Laurie is joining the cast of Veep.
Delta Zine.
No, he's...
That's awesome.
Not a Delta Zine. Yeah, No word yet on what role he will play.
Get up, Glenda!
He is doing an arc.
What?
He is doing an arc on that show. And everyone's very excited about it. I'm sure they probably know each other because the creator of Veep is Armando Iannucci, who, although he sounds Italian, is actually a Brit, and he did a lot of television in the UK, and I'm sure he's probably worked with or run cross paths with Hugh Laurie in the past. So.
Whoever's casting over there at Veep, I mean, that is such a deep bench, isn't it? Every character on that show is great.
Also, some great news. Actor Mickey Rourke, 62, is reviving his boxing career.
Now, by great news, you mean what?
I mean, 62-year-old Mickey Rourke's going to get into the boxing ring again in Russia. This story has everything.
Is he going to have an opponent?
Yes.
Well, that's terrible news.
29-year-old Elliot Seymour will be fighting him. Now, Elliot is also a professional fighter, has had 9 fights since 2009. So he doesn't work a lot. But at least he's lost 8 of them.
He's 1-8.
Yes.
And if he wins this one, there's no bragging rights in beating up a 62-year-old. And if he loses it, he's bad again.
Yeah.
Yeah, this is, I guess it can't be bad for Mickey Rourke because everybody goes, well, he's old.
Right.
Some may not know that he actually did take some time off from his acting career and become a boxer. He returned to boxing for 8 professional matches in the 90s. He claims it caused damage to his face, and that's why he had to get all that plastic surgery.
Okay, but now he's had it. So what is he doing?
He misses boxing. Boxing is a serious part of my life, he said. It taught me respect and determination and patience and concentration. I've always dreamed of fighting a match in Russia.
It's a weird dream. Yeah. Look, you guys saw the story going around this week that Brock Lesnar wants to come back, right? He's 37 years old, and he wants to come back, and that's a bad idea. Mickey Rourke is 62.
He doesn't have the skills of the mixer. He doesn't have the skills
that is true.
Of the Rourke train.
I'm just saying.
It's either Rourke train. The Rourke train will come barreling through and knock you on your ass unless you step out of the way of it, and then it can only go in one direction and will probably crash off a cliff. All aboard the Rourke train.
I wonder if we're going to have a chance to see that fight.
I don't know. Do they have television in Russia?
They don't.
I didn't think so. No, I don't think they have any cameras there.
Right.
Just going to be a guy sketching the fight and then mailing it to us as quickly as he can.
Send over some court reporters to take care of it.
That's right. Oh, Bill Cosby. We've been talking about it all day. It's just hard to keep talking about it, but... So far, 4 women in the span of this week alone have come forward and said that he allegedly drugged and raped them. Janice Dickinson, of course, yesterday. Now the wife of the Incredible Hulk, Lou Ferrigno, Carla Ferrigno, said yesterday in a radio interview that in 67, she was on a date, and her date and Bill Cosby and Bill Cosby's wife, they were on a double date. They headed back to Cosby's place, and when Cosby was able to get her alone, he tried to... force her to drink something that he had concocted for her, and then when that didn't work, he tried to force himself on her. So, yet another woman coming forward saying that Bill Cosby sexually assaulted her.
Hmm.
Tragic news. She said, Carla Ferrigno said she never told Lou until she's telling everyone, because she finally got the courage from hearing all these other women step forward.
Maybe she tried to tell him, but he couldn't hear it.
You make everything worse.
I can't believe you would say that about Lou Ferrigno. You're the guy dealing with it, and now you say that about Lou Ferrigno. Why would you say that?
I apologize. I didn't mean to insult you. I'm sorry.
I think you should apologize to me.
I'm actually apologizing now. I'm sorry.
I'm waiting for my apology.
Lou, I didn't know. I'm sorry.
I would like to hear an apology from
you. It was my mistake.
Sure you would.
I'm looking forward to hearing your apology.
Okay.
Well...
You guys remember when we had Lou in, I couldn't talk to him because he reads lips.
That's right.
So he couldn't hear me in the headset.
Just another way Lou Ferrigno is one of the luckiest men in the world.
What a lucky bastard.
And by the way, I was so impressed with him when we had him in. He was so smart and inspirational. Yes. It was a great interview.
And I don't know, he's 65 or something.
Looks incredible.
Looks like he's 41 and he's just yoked.
Yeah, he's
just in amazing shape. But his skin looks good and everything. The hair, it all looked good.
Yeah, it's not right.
He's like the Ming-Na Wen of men.
You know, we talked to Dr. Drew about how all of these sexual assault cases are beyond the statute of limitations. Nothing can be done legally to Bill Cosby.
Right.
The answer is Bill Cosby versus Lou Ferrigno in the ring.
With
that's
Mickey
the
Rourke.
Answer. With Mickey Rourke, sure.
Exactly. Steel cage match.
That's how you take care of Bill Cosby, is you let Lou Ferrigno loose on him.
Yeah, that'd be awesome.
I would like to fight Lou Ferrigno.
I would invite you as well.
I think that's the answer to this entire conundrum.
Today's celebrity birthdays, Ming-Na Wen. We just mentioned her. She, of course, plays Agent May from Marvel's Agent of S.H.I.E.L.D. 51 years old today. It's ridiculous. Look her up. Well, you see her. You watch her every week on television. I love that show, and I love her. She's great on it. But you look at her and you say, 51 years old, that's not just, it's not genetically possible. It's not amongst, it's not nature. That's not nature.
We had a listener who emailed us this morning, Ralph, who's,
deal with the devil?
Is a fan of hers and saw her in the Joy Luck Club, which might have been 30 years ago, and said she's far prettier today than she was 30 years ago.
Yeah, she's ageless, and she's stunning, and she's great on that. Marvel's Agent of S.H.I.E.L.D. It's getting good, by the way. Are you watching that show?
I'm a little behind on that show.
Oh, yeah. They've got a city now they're looking for, and the obelisk is a key, and just stuff is going down.
I'm going to need to catch up.
You are. It's good stuff. Mike D of the B Boys is 49 years old. Actor Joel McHale turns 43. Dierks Bentley is...
country superstar.
39 years old.
Really?
Yep.
I had no idea. Oh, yeah. Ralph brought it up every showbiz today, and I just...
I guess I should have given him the media tag. Country superstar Dierks Bentley is 39 years old. Davey Havok of AFI is 39 as well. And Nadine Velasquez celebrates her 36th birthday. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Davey Havok and AFI playing a weenie roast.
They sure are.
They came out on stage, and the girl behind me had a full beer. Full. Giant. I don't know. What are they kind of like, 48 ounces? I don't know. It's huge.
I think they do, yeah.
It was like a trash can. And he came out on stage, and she jumped up, and I took a bath in beer, and I've never been wetter in my entire life. It was like I just got out of a swimming pool.
Oh, you're the luckiest man alive.
I just sucked on my shirt all day. All right, tomorrow morning, an all-new Kevin and Bean show. We have Landon Donovan from the LA Galaxy talking about the playoffs.
Love you, Landon.
Landon cakes.
It's the Western Conference Finals.
He's still playing? I thought he retired.
That's what I said.
When does this long Nashville nightmare of Landon Donovan end?
He's retiring this season, but they're still in the playoffs as the Western Conference Finals.
Why did we make a big thing about it?
Because
we wait till he's
everybody's
done?
Been making a big thing all season long. Well, every place he goes, they give him a...
We just waited till he's done and then give him a watch and just send him on his way.
He came in like a month ago. We're like, Landon, we love you. Great career. Thanks so much for
the
time.
We wish you were still playing.
But they're in the Western Conference Finals.
Oh, but it's still
Sunday,
though, right?
Two.
If I'm not mistaken, it's still the game
in Seattle.
Soccer.
It is soccer.
All right. Go.
It's exciting.
Field hands.
Earlier today, Muggs scolded Bean because he was giving us so much. Thanks for that info, Bean.
You couldn't keep up.
I need a stenographer. I couldn't. And Muggs was like, are you just trying to fill up the file on purpose?
Wow.
So we're going to do that tomorrow.
Good.
It's just too much to talk about. We have Stephen Merchant on the program tomorrow.
Love him.
Love him so much. The movie beat and fortune teller, future teller R.J. Bell, who's going to tell you all about the NFL and has an unnatural ability to call those games. Tomorrow morning on an all-new Kevin and Bean Show.